someone always finds me.
The swamp is rotting from the inside out, and the stench is getting impossible to ignore.
Yes, I know Captain Stern. Never did there live a kinder, more generous man.
See?
Unless maybe the preschooler's prostitute ring. Huh?
A longtime Justice Department employee, Timothy Parsons, busted and charged with child pornography possession and distribution. The very agency that's supposed to hunt down these monsters now caught harboring one of their own. Then the New York Times dropped a bombshell on Rhode Island priests abusing hundreds of kids over 75 years with the church, shuffling predators like deck chairs on the Titanic while covering it all up.
The public deserves to know the truth, in my view, and they deserve to know it as a complete story, not a series of short stories that are told over time or over decades as priests are charged or as the media takes a particular interest over a certain period of time. The public deserves to know the whole story from 1950 to 2026, to see it all in its raw emotion and horror and impact.
Piling on the cartel's black book of child buyers, allegedly kept by El Mencho himself, reportedly packed with 220 names of global power players, including some right here in the United States, scumbags placing custom orders for trafficked kids, complete with specific ages and twisted preferences.
The cartel leader El Mencho, who was just killed, had a list of all the different world leaders that were on it and who was trying to get children, because the drug traffickers make more money at trafficking children, and he has a list of world leaders and powerful people who are asking for certain kids and ages and types, and that list is what they're trying to protect right now.
And not to be outdone, the Uniparty, Congress itself, the deep state global elite filth is protecting their own while the kids pay the price.
I just think it's really disgusting how this institution protects itself, because y'all, just half of them voted to send this stuff to House Ethics, where you know it's going to die. We know that members of Congress are using taxpayer dollars to pay off sexual harassment. We just had a member of Congress literally sexually harass a woman that then lit herself on fire, and you guys all protected him. Yep. You guys all protected my own side, your side. And so if you guys want to talk about victims, if you want to go out and virtue signal, and then you guys are going to kill her stuff on the floor and then try to pass. Yeah, of course, we should subpoena all of this stuff. But just, I'm not going to sit here and play games. I think it's a complete fraud. I think that's why the American people hate us. I think the midterms are coming up and everyone should go on record for this. And I hope that members are exposed for this. I hope it goes back, I think, to the 70s, because it's wrong that it's happening. It's wrong that we cover up for it. It's wrong that we can't center our own side because people are busy making deals because you guys don't want to center your side. It's a deal that's been cut and people hate us for it. So yeah, I support it.
You know, Congress has paid over $17 million in hush money for sexual misconduct inside of the offices in these buildings. And what's more is that was taxpayer money, right? The allegation is that President Trump paid $130,000 of his own money. But here in Congress, we have, there may be some on this dais. I mean, I'm for turning loose all of these records. Who in here has had the taxpayer pay for their sexual misconduct charges, the hush money? I bet there's some over there. There may be some over here. I don't know, but I do know it's taxpayer money, and I do know not a single penny of it has been turned in as a campaign finance expense.
From DOJ insiders to cartel traffickers to Capitol Hill payoffs, the pattern screams one thing into the noonday sun. The powerful shield the predators, because too many of them are the predators themselves.
How do we do it to where we hold people accountable but still keep the system from collapsing, as you talked about earlier?
Let the system collapse. A system run by twisted power pedos is no system at all.
He's nothing but a low-down, double-dealing, backstabbing, larcenous, perverted worm. Hanging's too good for him. Burning's too good for him. He should be torn into little bits and pieces and buried alive.
John Bound, reporting for InfoWars.
I love knives.
I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
How do you square that concern for waste, which I share? With the fact that you have spent $220 million running television advertisements that feature you prominently.
Sir, the president tasked me with getting the message out to the country and to other countries where we were seeing the invasion come from, with putting commercials out that told them that if they were in this country illegally, that they needed to leave or we would detain them and remove them and they'd not get the chance to come back to America the right way. That has been extremely effective.
Ask you to run these advertisements, is that right?
We had that conversation, yes, before I was put in this position and sworn in and confirmed and since then as well.
Okay. Did you bid out those service contracts?
Yes, they did. They went out to a competitive bid and career officials at the department chose who would do those advertising commercials.
And the people that you ended up picking were people who had formerly done your political work back in South Dakota. Is that right?
No, that's not correct, sir.
I think it is.
No, it's not, sir. The individuals who I believe the careers who they chose were two different media firms. There's been conversation about their subcontractors, but we have no legal authority to look into subcontractors on work like that.
Okay. And you're saying that you're testifying that President Trump approved this ahead of time. Is that my understanding?
We had conversations about making sure that we were telling people.
No, ma'am. I'm asking you, sorry to interrupt. But the president approved ahead of time you spending $220 million running TV ads across the country in which you are featured prominently.
Yes, sir. We went through the legal processes. Did it correct?
Did the president know you were going to do this?
Yes.
He did?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
And one thing, Senator, I think would be helpful to know is how effective that communications has been. That overwhelmingly
effective in your name recognition. I personally to me it puts the president in a terribly awkward spot, and I'm not saying you're not telling the truth. It's just hard for me to believe. You know, I mean, president, as I do, that you said, Mr. President, here's some ads I've cut and I'm going to spend $220 million running them, that he would have agreed to that. I don't think Russ Vogt at OMB would have agreed to that. It's something we have to defend. I'm on the Appropriations Committee. My research shows that you did not bid them out, that you, in fact, one of the people you picked, the strategy group, I'm sorry, Safe America Media was a company formed 11 days before you picked them, and that the strategy group got most of the money, and the head of that is married to your former spokesperson. Look, we all have friends who are qualified. I'm not quibbling with that. I'm just, it troubles me. A fifth to a quarter of $1 billion of taxpayer money when we're scratching for every penny and we're fighting over rescission packages. I just can't agree with Madam Secretary. Are you still running those ads?
Senator, I did not have anything to do with picking those contractors. I know politicals at the Department of Homeland Security did.
I understand. Are you
Mayor
still
officials
running those
followed
ads?
The competitive bid process.
Are you
that.
Still
Everything
running those ads?
I think the ads are due to end here in March. I think within a week.
So they
I'm
are
not
still
sure
running?
The update. The one that is running is focusing on angel families. Have you seen that? It is the one that's talking about this is our why. This is why we work every day.
Okay.
It's for the angel
I've
families and their
on.
Victims that need to.
After.
Good morning, everyone. We're happy you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happened over here. As you just saw, that was Kristi Noem's testimony. Now, that one was in front of the Senate. She's had herself a quite the busy week, being grilled in both front of the Senate Judiciary as well as the House Judiciary Committee. Now, the question that's being asked repeatedly is whether or not Kristi Noem had any type of favoritism towards giving an additional out $200 million for advertising funds. Now, those funds, you've probably seen those actual campaign ads. It's Kristi Noem telling those who do not belong in this country to self-deport. And it's being blasted all over a lot of different platforms. It's been going on for months now. And I know a lot of people are calling into question. That's why I thought it was important to highlight just that, because as you saw, that's Senator Kennedy. I mean, that is a Republican. That is a hardcore conservative, I'd say. And the fact that he's calling this into question really tells you a lot as to what's going on right now within this administration. Now, as you heard him allude to, he's talking about the former spokesperson for the DHS. And that's Trisha McLaughlin. Now, Trisha McLaughlin's husband, he owns a PR company, the Strategy Group, which profited, apparently, this is according to reports, millions of dollars due to this DHS advertisement campaign. Now, I don't think a lot of people on our side even know about this, and they're probably unaware. That's why I thought it was important for us to highlight just that. Now, I don't think, and I know Trisha McLaughlin personally, and she's an incredible spokeswoman. She's done an incredible job at both obviously working for DHS, who she's no longer with anymore, and she's also done an incredible job in Ohio. So this is getting called into question, and obviously it's a lot of cash dish out. You heard Secretary Noem say that the president was well aware about their efforts to promote all of this. And again, we haven't heard from the White House on the issue, but this seems to be a big issue. It's really hard for Republicans to defend over $200 million being dished out in all of this. We're waiting to see some evidence, though, that there was no bidding process made for this offer. And again, I mean, I've seen Kristi Noem. If you've been online at DHS, or I should say TSA, you've probably seen it, too. You totally have seen those ads that are running as you wait in line. It's interesting to hear the argument being made right now, and it's worth your attention. And that's why I thought it was important to bring it to you. Now, folks, we got a lot underway in today's show. I want to kind of highlight what's going down today. Mark Lucas will be joining the program to give us the very latest as to what's going on between the United States and Iran. Now, folks, a lot happening there on that front. We're hearing, and we're going to hear again from the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time today. That press conference is expected to begin when you guys are going to be watching War Room. So Harrison Smith will be following that for you. But there's a lot happening there. We're going to go through the details with Mark Lucas in specifically in regards to the very latest. There's a new group of fighters joining both Israel and the United States, it looks like. I'll break that down for you. We'll also be joined by Sarah Gonzalez as well later in the program. Now, Sarah just released another H-1B visa story, and I cannot wait to hear from her on that front. We've also got a lot to discuss in regards to Texas, because Sarah and I, well, we found ourselves together at an event earlier this week. We were both a part of Ken Paxton's party, and it was quite the eventful night. You probably saw Sarah. She was behind Ken Paxton, cheering him on, as she always does, because Ken Paxton's a fighter. I'm going to break down the latest regarding Ken Paxton, too, because I'm deeply concerned this White House is about to throw in the towel when it comes to actually backing a real MAGA fighter. And, folks, it's going to be the toughest black pill to swallow if President Trump doesn't back Ken Paxton. I'll be detailing the latest on that front in just a little bit. Plus, I got my hands on an exclusive yesterday, and I'll break down the latest. Another resignation being handed in because, well, the Trump administration's not very welcoming to those who are authentically trying to push back and to push for accountability. Another individual who I highly respect has been eaten by the deep state, well, it's kind of say, the swamp creatures of Washington, D.C. I'll break that report down for you in just a bit as well. Plus, also, I got to give credit. NBC put out a story yesterday, and I fact-checked it, and it is true. It has to do with the AutoPen scandal, another massive, massive blow to the MAGA agenda. And I look forward to detailing that for you in a little bit. I'm also still waiting to hear back from DOJ because I like to be fair and balanced. I like to give everyone the opportunity to defend themselves, and that is what I am trying to do. Now, I want to get to this. Let's get to clip six first. This is the White House discussing the Save America Act because, folks, obviously, we're getting involved in a foreign war right now, one that we've helped ignite. And a lot of Americans are wondering, hold on, wait, how are you going to do this? We haven't even passed the Save America Act yet. We don't even have legitimate elections. There's no election integrity. So why the heck are we in Iran right now? Take a listen.
Prior to the Iran conflict, the SAVE Act was really the focus of the news cycle. Is the SAVE Act still a priority for the administration?
Absolutely.
Can you just provide an update on the administration's talks with Congress to get the SAVE Act through?
SAVE Act is absolutely still a priority for this president and the administration. The focus, of course, of much of the president's time right now is on ensuring the success of Operation Epic Fury, but the president can walk and chew gum at the same time, and he's very much continuing to focus on the issues that matter here at home for the American people, including the passage of the SAVE Act, including on bringing down the cost of living, which is why you'll see the president in about an hour and a half at the Ratepayer Protection Pledge Roundtable, where he will be sitting with big tech companies, with AI companies who are building in communities across the country and have pledged to pick up the cost of the electricity tab in these small towns and communities across the country, which is a great thing for American consumers. So you'll be hearing from the president directly on this very important domestic agenda item later this afternoon, and it's something that he mentioned in his State of Union address, so check it off the list as another promise made and kept by this president.
Another promise made, another promise kept. We're not feeling that vibe anymore. Gotta say, most Americans are fired up, they're annoyed, they're angry because, well, here we are again dealing with a foreign issue rather than one that's here in the mainland. The Save America Act needs to be pushed through, and I'm getting very concerned that this administration is going to be utilizing that Texas runoff race as a way to push forward with their efforts to get that bill passed. Now, I'll go into detail what I mean about that because it's getting heated right now in Texas, and I'm a little fired up. I'm a little fired up about it. But first, let me bring you this story. This was a story that was reported to you yesterday by NBC News. Now, again, I like to do the fact-checking, and I've done the fact-checking on this report, and it comes back as true. The DOJ has quietly shelved an investigation into Joe Biden's White House. Now, this is the AutoPen scandal, which obviously we all know was when members of his administration were using the AutoPen at their leisure to sign off on bills without any proof that, or pardons too, without any proof that Joe Biden had any acknowledgement about any of it. Obviously, Joe Biden was going through a cognitive decline and was unaware. It was very clear from this investigation based on what the Oversight Committee found. Was unaware of his signature being utilized. The probe was initiated by Ed Martin. Quickly, the group that Ed Martin was leading was dissolved because accountability means nothing to those over at the DOJ right now. So what are we looking at? Well, we're looking at the possibility that there was, first off, several investigations regarding the AutoPen scandal. I could probably count three off the top of my head right now. And it's resulted in nada, zip, zero. NBC reporting that it's been shelved, it's done, it's on cold ice right now. That's what they're doing. This administration has failed completely to hold any of the key players accountable. This is the reason why every day I remind you that there's no major arrest. It's not a black pill moment, it's a hard sip of reality at this point. Folks, we have an administration that claims that they want accountability, that claims that they're going after the people that tried to destroy this country, and I've got nothing to back that up. Nothing. Not a single arrest, not a single mugshot, nothing. Again, several sources over at the DOJ told me that the NBC report is true. Now, again, I reached out to the DOJ for their official statement. No word back as of yet. But I want to remind you, you and I aren't the only ones that are frustrated with all of this. No, it's not just you and I. It's also members of Congress, those that dug up the information into all of this. I'm talking about the oversight chairman, James Comer, who was Well, Mr., we'll just call him Chairman Blackpiller at this point. You may have remembered earlier this year, he went off because he was upset that his committee brought forward a lot of evidence that proved, and they did a lot of depositions, that proved that the auto pen was abused by members of his administration. Now, he's not happy because he says that after pushing that all that information over to the DOJ, nothing's come of it. Take a listen to clip one.
I'm sure you've seen a lot of the comments on X. This is a very popular chart on X. It says zero arrests for some scandals that are very important to Republicans. Is that what accountability looks like?
Listen, that's the biggest complaint of every Republican on the House Oversight Committee is there haven't been enough arrests. Now, some of these, some of those issues, I don't know, it's going to be hard to arrest people. With the Biden auto pen scandal, what we produced in our investigation is evidence that the pardons and executive orders that were signed with the auto pen in the last year of the Biden administration should be declared null and void. Now, President Trump tweeted after we issued our report that he was going to declare them null and void, but I don't believe the paperwork's ever been done, and you're still going to have to go to court for that. But our congressional investigation will serve as basis to uphold the declaration of those pardons and executive orders being declared null and void. Someone from the Department of Justice just has to take it to court.
Okay, so someone from the Justice Department has not picked up the ball yet.
It appears that way.
Okay, well, that must be frustrating.
Very frustrating.
Yeah, very frustrating. American people are frustrated. We've had enough. We've had enough. Time and time again, members of this administration have failed the American people. Nobody elected President Trump just to buy more time, kick the can down the road. No, President Trump was elected to make sure that those who tried to destroy this country were held accountable. And the auto pen scandal is literally the lowest hanging fruit. It is the most simple case to prove. It's quite obvious that Joe Biden had nothing to do with any of these executive orders and pardons. Well, all you have to do, too, by the way, if you want to back that up a little bit, is ask yourself, why would Joe Biden, although I think he's a creeper, why would Joe Biden offer clemency to a convicted pedophile who had thousands of child pornographic images on his devices, a Chinese spy, allegedly? Well, again, nobody ever asked that tough question. Who was the one that signed off on clemency and sent that individual all the way back to the CCP? This is one of the reports that nobody wanted to talk about at the time. I think it was the first journalist to start blowing the whistle on this one because they just thought they could slide that one in under the sack and nobody was going to pay attention to it. The Biden administration released a pedophile, sent him back to China. And under those conditions, he was told, you can't come back here. And of course, he's not going to come back here. He now has his freedom back. He's back to China. Folks, what's going on right now in this administration, I can't even try to sell you on this. I can't even try. I can't even try. What's going on right now in this administration is nothing productive at this point. It's quite obvious. They'll call you a black pillar for speaking the truth. You're not a black pillar. You're somebody who inserts common sense because you retired under the first administration of being sold a bed of lies about things were going to happen, and then nothing happens. And then the next administration that walked into the White House, guess what happened? Thousands of Americans were targeted by that administration. None of them, to this day, held accountable. So what do you think is going to happen the next time they get back into the White House? A lot of us are going to go to prison. Not for actual crimes being committed, but instead they're going to lock us up for the crimes they want to cook up. Because no one was held accountable. And this is the problem. We have a DOJ that's prolonging all of this. A lot of these cases, they probably don't even have a statute of limitation on their side anymore. And they think that you're dumb enough just to keep saying, trust the plan. Well, what's the plan? What's the plan? You see, if President Trump doesn't begin to speak out on this issue, I don't know what more to do. He has to be at this point fired up, making phone calls directly to the DOJ. Now, again, I'd rather him not make those calls publicly because then they'll say that he's weaponizing the DOJ and they'll outline it as such. But the reality of it is you can't allow this to slide. You can't allow this to keep happening. The auto pen scandal getting put on cold ice, not acceptable. Not acceptable. And again, it's the lowest hanging fruit. The statute of limitation isn't up there. So if we can't even nail anything there, if we can't even get those executive orders, those pardons nullified, what the heck are we doing? What the heck are we doing? Why do I come here every day to talk to you all at home if we're not doing anything? Why do the journalists, the great journalists, there are some that are still great, why do they keep uncovering all of the Biden corruption, the Obama corruption, if no one's going to do anything? Do you want rage bait? Because I don't want rage bait. I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm tired of coming in every day and being angry the fact that these people haven't done anything that they're supposed to be doing. They wanted us all in prison. They wanted to lock us all up. They wanted to kill us all off. That is what they would have done if they would have gotten a second administration in there. The Kamala Harris-Waltz administration. And it's really hard for me to argue that there's much of a difference right now. Because right now it just feels like we're just standing here and waiting. There's nothing to brag about right now. Nothing. Yeah, there's economic wins. Okay, cool. We like those. And you guys know, if you follow me on X, I constantly am reporting on that. But when the FBI just fires employees rather than holding them accountable, you see, the reason why firing is unacceptable is because firing, you know what it does? It gives them justification for filing lawsuits. And that's what these rogue employees will do. And then they'll prolong it a little bit longer, but they'll get settlements. They'll get settlements. See, this is the problem right now. This is the big issue with all of these people. These are the same people who have been trying to sell us this dream that they were going to hold these officials accountable. They're not holding anyone accountable. No one. Oh, you weren't happy with Tish James getting slapped with charges that were then obviously dismissed for mortgage fraud? Well, that's all we got for you. James Comey, a little bit of charges here and there. Oh, it got dropped because of a rogue judge. That's all we got for you. Folks, we have people who tried to destroy this country. Destroy this country. Sitting here and telling us that they can't do anything at this point. Telling us, sorry. Sorry. It is what it is. No charges for you in the Auto Pen scandal. We're actually just going to let everything slide by and not do anything about it. This is the reason why, and we're going to get to this in a second. This is why having people with cojones in the U.S. Senate was critical. The Senate is a conglomerate of rhinos, and because they know they have a ton of power, they've been upholding President Trump's agenda. So what does that mean? Why am I making this connection? I'm making this connection because these are the people that withheld their votes, their support for President Trump's picks, which resulted in people who should have never been leading the DOJ, like Pam Bondi, making her way in there. You know, there's a reason why they wouldn't confirm Matt Gaetz, why they wouldn't confirm Ed Martin. And there was others. Remember when the president told you when he was trying to push through Ed Martin, sorry, it's costing too much political capital for me. What does that even mean? Oh, you mean the so-called Republicans in the Senate are trying to hold your confirmation picks over your head and demand something back in response? That's called blackmail. Why do we allow it? Why do we allow it? And his level of aggression that he has towards people like Congressman Thomas Massie, former Congresswoman MTG. Why don't you apply that energy to go after the people that are withholding accountability? The people that are withholding your picks who are trying to stop it. We didn't elect the U.S. Senate to stop President Trump from what he's doing. And President Trump's not even defending himself in any of this. He just says, sorry, can't get them confirmed. Best I got for you is Pam Bondi, the woman in Florida who was pushing for red flag laws. The woman who sat there and allegedly was very critical in bearing any claims against Jeffrey Epstein being brought to accountability, I guess I should say that. It's absolute garbage, people. We've got more to call out in just a little bit. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. March mega sale going on right now. 30 to 40% off some of your favorite items over at thealexjonesstore.com. While supplies last, head there now.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it, because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com, because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win, or a non-zero-sum game, or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue, or our Bovine Colostrum, or our CMOS, or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals with everything else. So anybody buying anything on TheAlexJonesStore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us today. I wanted to actually bring you an update on the story we just talked about. It has to do with DHS Secretary Kristi Noem. Now, you heard her during her testimony. She said that President Trump was well aware that she was spending over $220 million on a campaign ad that was being broadcast all across radio and, I believe, television and a bunch of other outlets to promote individuals to self-deport. Now, she claimed that President Trump signed off on that when Senator John Kennedy was grilling her on it. Well, the National Review just dropped an exclusive, and they're claiming that President Trump privately is actually furious with DHS Secretary Kristi Noem for suggesting that to the Senate Judiciary Committee on Tuesday. The president is furiated that the embattled cabinet secretary repeatedly suggested under oath that the president was aware of the multi-million dollar ad campaign, which obviously featured Noem prominently. Now, again, she said that he approved it. So we'll see if the president issues comments on that. Of course, I'm sure he's not going to want to throw her under the bus. And given the fact that I think Kristi Noem's under fire, and I don't really blame her for a lot of the stuff that's been going on lately, Specifically, what am I talking about here? Well, I'm talking about, you know, DHS not being funded. That was obviously a Republican issue. Why would Republicans decide to only provide DHS with partial funding, allowing Democrats to hold out funding down the line? Why wouldn't you fund it all together fully? Didn't make any sense. Now Kristi Noem's under fire in all of this. You know, they like throwing her under the bus, but I actually do think that she's doing a great job. Very limited resources, obviously, and obviously it was a chaotic mess with the Biden regime. And you heard her also say, hey, heads up, when I took on this position, Elon Musk actually had to step in because the people who were hanging around my office were actually trying to plant listening devices and trying to hack into my electronic devices as well. So she's someone I have leniency for. Why? Because they tried their very best to go after her and target her. So keep that in mind, folks. Keep that in mind. Now, is it acceptable to spend $220 million on TV ads that might be linked to somebody who was working at the time in your administration? Of course not, no. But we need to learn more about this before we start jumping the gun on this. I need to make sure there was a bidding process first. Noem claiming that there was, in fact, a bidding process. All right, let's keep bouncing around. There's a lot more going on here. I want to talk about the exclusive story that I broke to you guys yesterday. Over at the independentnewsroom.com is a website that I actually run. It's all my exclusives where you can go, and it's free to sign up. You can sign up for the newsletter. It goes directly to your inbox. So yesterday, when I released this exclusive, it went straight to your inbox. It also made its way over to Infowars.com as well. Now, again, this is a newsletter. I actually just quickly created a website. In case they ever cancel me on X or other platforms, I could get these messages directly to you. And that's the reason why I do that over at independentnewsroom.com. But I got my hands on a letter. And this letter, again, this is why I'm like so fired up this morning. This letter comes from an individual who I highly respect. Somebody who has been in the waters with President Trump when it came to the lawfare, because he too was arrested. He too had his home raided. Jeff Clark is a patriot, and I will never stop fighting for Jeff Clark because Jeff Clark is still fighting for himself. He was wronged, and still to this day, he's trying to fight for himself. And guess what? There are so many bad people trying to stand in his way. Jeff Clark has officially handed in his resignation paperwork for the Trump administration. Now, here's the thing. Jeff Clark was the acting administrator of the Office of Information or regulatory affairs. So he controlled a lot. He also had a lot of other hats under. I should say, he was also in charge of a lot of other things. But it felt like to me, somebody who's as incredible of an attorney as Jeff Clark is, why would you have him handling that job? Why wouldn't you put him over the DOJ? And here's why. In case you don't know who Jeff Clark is, I've had the pleasure of meeting Jeff Clark. Call him a friend of mine over the last few years. The lawfare against him has been absolutely insane, and you don't see it in the headlines because Jeff doesn't have, when it comes to President Trump, he's going to catch the headlines, and Jeff Clark is right underneath him. You have to look into the stories to see what's going on with Jeff Clark. Specifically, though, I'm going to talk about Fulton County. Because of what happened to President Trump and the RICO case in Fulton County, they looped Jeff Clark into it. Even though Jeff Clark never sent a letter over to Georgia officials, they didn't care. The fact that he drafted up a letter claiming that there might have been election fraud in Georgia or some type of election mishandling in Georgia, they had him arrested. They raided his home. They tried to embarrass this man who has spent years of his life fighting for this country. They tried to embarrass him. In fact, they even leaked a photo of him having his home raided at early hours of the morning when he was in his boxers. They thought, oh, this will be embarrassing to him. This is what happened to Jeff Clark. Jeff Clark is also still fighting the battle of trying to make sure that he could practice law in D.C. They are still actively trying to disbar Jeff Clark. Now, his legal fees have amounted to an enormous amount of money at this point. And the administration did give him a job. But for me, somebody from the outside looking in, I could say, it's like, why are you trying to put Jeff Clark on ice? This is your fighter. When Bill Barr refused to investigate any election fraud tips that were coming in, he actively, by the way, Bill Barr, shut those tips down. Those investigations down. I detailed three examples for you in regards to that. Guess what? Jeff Clark stepped up, who was running two divisions over the DOJ at the time, which is unheard of, by the way. But that's how much of a credible guy this man is. So what happened? Well, Jeff Clark was the only one with the cojones to go up to the president and say, hey, listen, I know what you see, and I see that there possibly is election fraud. This is 2020. If you need me to step in, I'll investigate it for you. It's not illegal. Nothing they did was illegal. Bill Barr was going to be fired because Bill Barr was actively trying to stop election fraud investigations from taking place, literally jumping on the phone, calling people and telling them to end it, squash it. We don't want it. So Jeff Clark, being the patriot he is, offered his services like he always does because he is a patriot. He highly respects the U.S. Constitution. That is the kind of guy Jeff Clark is. So they went after Jeff Clark, and everything that's unraveled since is retaliation. Now, obviously, President Trump was well aware, even giving him a shout out. I believe it was a Mar-a-Lago fundraiser. They can't talk because they were both co-defendants in the Fulton County case at the time. Remember the video? He pointed at Jeff and said, oh, great man, great man. We couldn't talk for a while, Jeff, huh? Jeff did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. And in fact, when, you know, people like Jenna Ellis were so quick to throw the president under the bus in Fulton County, there are reports that Jeff Clark was also going to flip on President Trump. So being that I consider Jeff Clark a good friend of mine, I reached out to Jeff and said, hey, Jeff, what's going on? Are you going to flip on President Trump? He said, absolutely not. President Trump did nothing illegal. Nothing illegal. Everything was a shakedown to get Jeff Clark and others to flip on the president. Jenna Ellis, being weak, fell first. And thankfully, she was really the only one that we know of. But Jeff Clark wasn't going to cop a deal. He knew the RICO case was a full of you-know-what and refused to back down, refused to comply with these deep state operatives that were looking to take down the president of the United States. And as a thank you, the administration gave him a job in the corner. You sit there, Jeff Clark, the man who knows what happened behind the scenes, the man who knows about the lawfare, the man who probably should be the one spearheading the election fraud investigation. Mm-mm. You sit there. Thank you for helping. Thank you for not being a treasonous pig. But we're going to make you sit over there in the corner. Now, again, I highly respect Jeff Clark. I highly respect Russ Vogt as well over at OMB. The letters are really confusing, especially before 9 a.m. But folks, it is so infuriating what's gone on. So Jeff Clark's leaving, and his letter, his resignation letter, which I obtained exclusively, is very respectable. He's praising all of the wins that have happened under his watch with Russ Vogt. And I know Russ Vogt, I had the pleasure of meeting him as well, is a great man, a great fighter as well. But this is the letter that was handed over by Jeff Clark. And he outlines all the major wins, but then says, you know, I'm leaving the administration, but I'm still going to be in this fight. I will return to private life, but will not be retiring from the fight or any fight. No, we need Jeff Clark in this fight. We need Jeff in this fight. We need Jeff over at the DOJ. If President Trump wants to give his supporters any ounce of hope that something's going to be done, it would be a quick switch. Get rid of Bondi, put Jeff Clark in charge over the DOJ. Do you really want to get crazy? This is how I do it. The Senate's going to give you a lot of pushback, but tell them to F off. Those rhino pigs, we're not going to help you fundraise if you don't approve who I say we're going to approve. Because again, Jeff Clark is a man with a stellar record. The only reason why they wouldn't be able to confirm him is because, well, the lawfare that took place against him. That's why they did it. That's why they launched these attacks against Jeff Clark. It's all about going after people's credibility, trying to embarrass them, trying to destroy them, trying to break them. But Jeff Clark's not weak. Jeff Clark is a patriot. He loves his country, and he's going to continue to fight. But how long can you leave Jeff Clark on ice, sitting in the corner, watching as people over at the DOJ aren't doing their jobs? If President Trump wants to give us any ounce of hope, how about this? Make Jeff Clark the Attorney General of the United States, and his deputy director, who should that be? Ed Martin. Two men who understand it better than anyone else. That's what you're going to want to do. The fact that Jeff Clark is handing in his resignation letter is an absolute disgrace. An absolute disgrace. And keep in mind, I've been talking to you guys. I've been reporting exclusively on people like Gail Slater over at the Antitrust Division, another patriot, pushed out, forced to resign. Now, sadly, Democrats in Congress are investigating why Gail was pushed out of the Antitrust Division. These are people who we have to support. These are the people who are being buried by the swamp. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. There's been an active push to stop this accountability tour, and it's working. It's working. I can't point to a single win over at the DOJ. Kudos. You arrested a bunch of church protesters. Okay, I like that. But how does it save this country from the swamp that is trying to destroy it? Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because we could all agree that going inside of a Sunday morning church and preventing worshipers from enjoying Sunday morning service is something that needs to be stopped. Especially given the fact that it happened to pro-lifers. They were thrown in prison for years. I've covered their stories extensively. The lawfare was so crazy, folks. There were people who couldn't even afford their mortgages anymore. Because again, these aren't wealthy people. These are people like you and I who are just trying to get by. And I know many of us donated. We did our Gifts and Go donations. We donated to the Patriot Project. Even myself donating directly to people because they call me crying. I had someone calling me crying because they got a flat tire. Her husband was in prison. And she said, I don't have any money to fix my flat tire, Brianna. I am literally stuck here right now. You can't sit here and allow these people to get away with it. This administration right now is allowing these people to get away with it. And if you want friendly, cushy coverage, guess what? My ask is quite simple. I don't need exclusive access to the DOJ. I don't need you to slide me exclusive content. I just want you to lock the scumbags up that tried to destroy this country. That's my only ask. I didn't get into any of this. This journalism career, never wanted to be in politics. Truly, truly. That's why I started off in sports. But you can't sit around and say you love this country and watch as the people internally are trying to destroy it and sit here and say, okay, I'm just going to go and play it simple. I'm going to take the easy approach. We have a short window to save this country. You're either jumping on board with us and you're trying to help, or you're against us. That's what's going on right now in this country. And sadly, we have a lot of people that are against us. Great people being pushed out of the DOJ, OMB. And I think it's disgraceful. And this is why good people don't run for office. What's the incentive? They will go after you, they will destroy you, they will go after your family, they will try their very best to embarrass you so you can't show your face in public. I mean, we saw what they did to J6ers. I believe it was, what, a half a dozen J6ers took their own lives because of the immense pressure the federal government put them under? Where's the accountability for them? This is where we're at right now. And it might get even worse. And this will be the toughest black pill to swallow out of them all. You know, bombing Iran, no one signed up for that. No one signed up for that. Not arresting any of these major key treasonous pigs, no one signed up for that. But folks, my patience is being tested. And I'm sure you feel the same way at home. And yesterday I was, you know, enjoying my afternoon. And I become very unhinged, like a lefty. At some of the things that are going on right now. I got an alert that President Trump posted to Truth Social yesterday. And in his post, he's talking about the runoff race in Texas for the U.S. Senate. Now that race includes people like John Cornyn and the very great Ken Paxton. President Trump put out a statement and this is how you trigger me these days. He's saying that he will soon be endorsing one of those two candidates. I will be making my endorsement soon and will be asking the candidate that I don't endorse to immediately drop out of the race. Is that fair? Question mark. We must win in November. Is that fair, Mr. President? No, absolutely it's not fair. Because you know why? The DC swamp doesn't get to pick who represents Texans. Texans pick who represents Texans, and we know who they want. We know it. Why? Because they poured over $100 million into John Cornyn's campaign efforts. what is it, $70 million was coughed up by the rhinos to try to save John Cornyn? Because Ken Paxton has been so aggressive at going after these deep state operatives, they hate him. They hate him. And that's why I love Ken Paxton, because there was very few people who are willing to throw everything in this over these last, what, 8 years? And Ken Paxton was one of the very few. Ken Paxton is the only attorney general who sat there and filed multiple lawsuits. So you're telling me, Mr. President, that you are going to potentially endorse John Cornyn and then tell Ken Paxton to drop out. Now, why am I pushing that? I want you to hear clip four. Because John Thune, who is apparently running right now, who's a leader over at the Senate, is saying that he's backing John Cornyn. We know he is. That's why they poured millions of dollars into Cornyn's campaign. But also, he's also alluding to the fact that President Trump actually might be backing him in those efforts. Take a listen.
With the president already today about Texas, and I'm certainly hopeful. I think, as probably you know, Martha, I've made no secret of the fact that I hope the president will endorse John Cornyn. He is an incredibly effective senator for the state of Texas, a strong conservative voice here in the United States Senate, and represents by far our very best hope of making sure that Texas stays red in November in that Senate election. And so we'll see ultimately the president, you know, he makes his own decisions, but I've certainly weighed in many times, in support of Senator Cornyn, and I believe he is not only going to win the primary, but the general election in November.
Yeah, I was just watching Matt Whitlock, who used to do the Republican Senate committee. He said he believes that an endorsement for Cornyn is coming from the president. You said you just spoke with him. Is it coming shortly, that endorsement from the president?
Well, I'm not going to characterize that, the conversations I've had with the president, but I think it's fair to say that he's paying a lot of attention, and he knows full well, Megan, how important it is that we hold Texas in Republican hands.
Folks, you think that Ken Paxton isn't going to be able to hold Texas? John Cornyn is a rhino. He is a coward. He is a loser. That man is a loser. He should be tossed out of the Senate. Ken Paxton fought for President Trump. How dare he allude to the fact that President Trump might actually back Cornyn? And to sit here and say that whoever he doesn't endorse needs to drop out, no, Mr. President, all due respect, you don't pick who gets to run in Texas for Texans. You don't get to pick that. And the endorsements these days have been absolute garbage. Let me just remind you about, and by the way, Ken Paxton did come out and say that he's not dropping out, and he better not. He better not. Because this is a war path I'm willing to take on if they try this. Let me just remind you. Let me give you some backstory. John Cornyn's Liberty score is at a 54%. That is an F. It's not just that. He's betrayed the president multiple times. Multiple times. And it's absolutely infuriating. I could count seven times off the top of my hand right now. Top of my, I guess, mind would be it. But listen here, folks. When we talk about how much of a scumbag John Cornyn is, let me play clip five for you, because John Cornyn decided to use Pam Bondi's confirmation hearing to push FISA and say, oh, FISA's never been used against the American people. That's misinformation. He's full of it. Take a listen.
With regard to how Section 702 works, I happen to be one of the members of the Senate Intelligence Committee. We read that product on a regular basis, and it is not used to spy on American people. I think what's fundamentally missing is a lack of trust in the intelligence community, including the FBI, which I'm hoping you and Mr. Patel can.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Well, folks, in case you forgot, let me remind you that FISA was actually used against President Trump's team. Remember? Crossfire Hurricane? Yeah, they used it. They used it against the president. So John Cornyn's hoping you're just as stupid as he is. And as he continues to push the deep state operatives' lies for them while pretending to be a Republican, he's hoping now to get the president's blessing. And let me remind you, by the way, John Thune's out here pushing for John Cornyn, saying Texans need him. We're afraid that they might flip the state. Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? The guy running against Ken Paxton on the other side of the aisle literally believes that trannies need abortions. It's an easy win. Easy win for common sense. Let me also remind you that, you know, Ken Paxton, under the Biden regime years, launched over 100 lawsuits against the Biden regime. He also was one of the very few brave AGs to launch a lawsuit against several blue states who tried to steal the 2020 election away from the American people. That's who Ken Paxton is. He didn't wait for election day to have to pretend like he was a fighter. He is a fighter. He is a fighter. And let me just give you some more Cornyn fails. Because for some reason, everyone just seems to have forgotten. John Cornyn opposed, and this is of course to the great folks over at the National Pulse who have put this all together for us. John Cornyn has opposed the border war as naive. This was prior to the 2016 election. Just give you some quick over. Was also a big supporter of DACA and didn't like the fact that President Trump was about to terminate it back in 2020. That's another one for you. Make sure that's in your books. John Cornyn also tried to legitimize Jack Smith's investigation into the president. Even calling at one point, I believe it was that he called him a very credible prosecutor. John Cornyn has been behind the garbage, and that's the reason why these deep state operatives are pushing for him to get back in. John Cornyn had to spend over $100 million in this primary. That's why President Trump is saying, whoever I pick, that's it. Because they know how expensive the seat is right now. By the way, I think Ken Paxton spent, what, $4 million? Why? Because Texans actually like him. Folks, I live here. I've not met a single person who has anything good to say about Cornyn. By the way, if you look at the primary results, keep in mind we have open primaries here in Texas. It's absolute garbage, but they still do it here in Texas. So Democrats are the ones who are going to cross over. Remember when John Cornyn said, we played the clip for you, that he might lose if radical people turn up to vote for Ken Paxton? Keep in mind, by the way, about 60% of the votes were against John Cornyn in the primary. That's why they're all running and begging President Trump to get in this. That's why President Trump put up that threat yesterday on Truth Social. President Trump's not going to have any friends if he keeps doing this. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. When you're pushing for these people to get reelected, when they've done absolutely nothing but backstab you and your allies, you just throw them under the bus. Sorry, collateral damage. Too much political capital going into this. And in case you need another reason not to like John Cornyn, we'll end on this note. John Cornyn, who has led the invasion of the Islamists coming into Texas, well, he had this message in clip 19 for the jihadists. Take a listen.
I'm Texas Senator John Cornyn. I want to take a moment to say, I know this year's Ramadan will be different from those before, and that's why it's important to keep the spirit of hope and community alive. I wish you all a good fast and that you and your friends and families stay safe during this challenging time. Ramadan Mubarak.
Happy Ramadan from John Cornyn. What a great card to send out to your loved ones. We'll be right back.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at theultrasport.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Mark Lucas will be joining me in a moment. A lot to talk about in regards to Iran. I know many of you guys at home were a little concerned in regards to what we saw play out over the weekend. You know, Mark is great. He's great when it comes to all of this. He's obviously the founder. We've had him on a bunch of times, founder of Veteran Action. I actually look forward to talking to him about all of this because obviously with these new wars that launch, some of us, many of us are actually very concerned for our veterans because it creates a new generation of vets. So I look forward to talking to him about that front because he's someone who has been trying to push forward a Bill of Rights for vets and improve their healthcare services. And so obviously this is something that's right in his loop, and he's also well-versed in the Middle East issues that we do have in this country. So he'll join us in just a second on that front. I want to get to the Save America Act. Now, this is something, again, we played it at the top of the show for you. We're really hoping that President Trump prioritizes at this point because we're seeing a lot of foreign things come out of the White House. AI, we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. But we need to make sure our elections are safe and secure. And that's the big issue here. That's the big issue. And it truly, truly is a little concerning that it looks like the Save America Act is taking a back seat right now. I want to get to this post that he just posted up on Truth Social, the president of the United States. The Republicans must do with passion and at the expense of everything else, the Save America Act. Don't water it down, he goes on to saying, and not the watered down version. He's actually been a real stickler for people trying to shorten it. He doesn't want you to say Save Act. He wants you to Save America Act. And I get it. Right? Because then it's not really giving the proper respect that's due. It's common sense. Both sides can agree that it's important for American citizens to be weighing in our elections. And anyone who's advocating against just that is the enemy. They're the ones who are trying to steal our elections. They're ones who are trying to tip the scales in their favor because the American people don't side with their agenda. That's the only reason why you wouldn't support this. And it's quite strange that we're even in this place right now where we have to even possibly consider the fact that this might not get through. You know, Chip Roy, there was a clip of Chip Roy, Congressman Chip Roy, talking about it, and it didn't sound like he was very optimistic. But obviously this is something that he's been trying to push for a while now. I don't know why it hasn't gone through yet. And that's my concern in regards to the race, the runoff race in Texas right now. I actually think what they're trying to do here is they're going to hold that over their, I'm talking about the Rhino Republicans in the Senate, hold it over the president's head for what? Political capital, obviously. That's what they got there. To say that if you don't endorse John Cornyn and force Ken Paxton to leave the race, that we're just not going to push this through. Now, again, the timeline is quite strange. The fact that they're not prioritizing this is quite strange. We've heard the president come out multiple times and say, yeah, I can't get my confirmation picks done and push through the Senate because, well, it's costing me too much political capital. Matt Gaetz, Ed Martin, others. And so that's what's going on right now in the Senate. And obviously that's very, very frustrating because, again, the vast majority, both Democrats and Republicans, agree on this issue. Yes, you should have to present identification before weighing in our elections. That makes sense. That makes sense. Unless, of course, you're trying to steal the elections. Unless, of course, you imported millions of illegal aliens for a purpose of weighing in on our elections. And again, both red states and blue states won't actually turn over their voter rolls to the DOJ Civil Rights Division. They're suing. They're pushing back. Several states actually have wins on the board in regards to that. Why? Because, well, they don't want you to know how many illegals are on their voter rolls. And that's both Republicans and Democrats pushing back against the DOJ on that front. So far, I believe we counted three states, including California, are obviously winning that battle. Now, again, the appeals process will take place, but right now, those are wins on the board for those trying to steal our elections. Folks, I want to remind you right now, we have the March Mega Sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. Up to 40% off your favorite supplements right now over at the shop. You got to head on over there right now and take a look at what is available. Of course, we always sell out quick on the top ones. So stop what you're doing right now and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com before it's too late.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Brianna Morello has the dots they don't want connected. The truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
The two most powerful air forces in the world will have complete control of Iranian skies, uncontested airspace. I hope all the folks watching understand what uncontested airspace and complete control means. It means we will fly all day, all night, day and night, finding, fixing, and finishing the missiles and defense industrial base of the Iranian military, finding and fixing their leaders and their military leaders, flying over Tehran, flying over Iran, flying over their capital, flying over the IRGC, Iranian leaders looking up and seeing only U.S. and Israeli air power every minute of every day until we decide it's over.
And when will this all be over? Well, that is the question that continues to loom. Joining me to discuss is one of our favorite veterans. Mark Lucas joins the program today. He's also the founder of Veteran Action. And so it is an honor to have him on board with us today. Mark, I want to thank you for being here. You know, we heard from the Secretary of War yesterday, Mr. Pete Hegseth, and we're going to hear from him again today. He's expected to speak at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time again on the latest regarding Iran. What was your reaction yesterday when you heard him specifically speaking about dominating the airspace above Iran?
We are finally fighting a war to win and not have this stupid rule of engagement to constrain us. And I'll tell you that fighting in war was the worst thing I've ever had to do in my life. I hate war. For Pete and I and several others who have served in the global war on terror, we were very passionate about going to fight overseas for our country. 9/11 forever changed our lives. But we were able to see after decades of being in Iraq and being in Afghanistan that there was no clear mission to win. So I deployed to Afghanistan in 2010. It was 9 years after 9/11, and we were surging forces. It was very clear for me to see that we were not winning. We did not have a mission to win. Nobody talked about winning. But right now, President Trump and Pete Hegseth have very specific military objectives. Number one, we want to destroy the ballistic missile threat, make sure Iran has no nukes, destroy their navy, and ensure that the next regime is not in the does not have the ability to wage terror all around the globe. But also notice that I didn't talk about nation building. We didn't talk about, you know, winning hearts and minds. Pete Hegseth, as a warfighter, as a guy who had to kick in doors, call in airstrikes, he saw how these restrictive rules of engagement really put our men and women at risk. We want to end this war as soon as possible. We do not want to listen to these bloodthirsty neocons who already have another list of countries, whether it's Lebanon or Cuba. President Trump understands this. And I've been reminding my friends in MAGA that Donald Trump is still the same man who in 2016 famously said that Iraq was a big fat mistake. All of the neocons, all of the donors in that Republican presidential debate were trying to boo him off the stage. He's learned the lessons from Barack Obama and George W. Bush. And look at the results so far. So the forever wars, it took us 10 years to kill Osama bin Laden after 9/11. It took us 8.5 months to capture Saddam Hussein after the shock and awe campaign. With President Trump and with Pete Hegseth, we were able to snatch Maduro in less than 24 hours, and we were able to kill the Ayatollah in less than 24 hours. But we have some major domestic priorities here at home. I believe that one of the gravest threats to our national security is not passing the Save America Act. It's unbelievable that we're going to have illegal immigrants vote in elections. It's unbelievable that we are not going to have voter ID. And I think it's important for us to win this war decisively, not get drawn into a quagmire, and shift back to the focus on the American people.
Yeah. And I think a lot of Americans are concerned. I want to play clip 8 for you real quick. Clip 8 was, and you were kind of alluding to it, there is a individual who is trying to push for the U.S. to go after, I believe it's Lebanon now, is the next one on his list. This being Senator Lindsey Graham. Now, the great congressman from Tennessee, Tim Burchett, decided to sound off on the issue. Take a listen.
Senator Lindsey Graham is now calling for the U.S. to start bombing Lebanon in response to the Hezbollah IDF action.
Lindsey hasn't seen a fist fight he hasn't wanted to turn into a bombing raid. So I just take it with a grain of salt, dude. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so for the rest of us, Mark, we know exactly what that means. There's a clip that is circulating online, obviously, of Lindsey going directly out there, and he's advocating for us to go out there and target Israel. I mean, sorry, not to target Israel, but to target Lebanon with Israel and to partner up in that. I think that's the reason why so many members of our audience specifically don't want anything to do with what's going on in Iran right now. Let's take a listen to those comments that Lindsey Graham also made.
And they support Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis. One thing to President Trump, in case you're watching. In 1983... Ronald Reagan sent Marines and sailors to try to police and deal with the Lebanese civil war. They were at the end of the runway. Hezbollah attacked the Marine barracks, killed 220 Marines, 18 sailors, and wounded 100 others. Ronald Reagan, who I admire and love, withdrew and never did anything about it. So I'm calling on President Trump today. Join Israel to attack Hezbollah. Avenge the Marines. America never forgets. Those 220 Marines and 18 sailors' families, we want to go after the infrastructure that killed your loved ones. They're IRGC assets in Beirut as I speak. President Trump, come up with a new operation called Semper Fi. Fly with Israel and go after Hezbollah, who has American blood on its hands. Not only take the mothership of Iran down, also take the proxy of Hezbollah. Settle the score. Even the account.
All right, Mark, I think this is why so many members of our audience are deeply concerned, because Lindsey Graham is obviously very close with President Trump. Do you think the president's going to bite on what Lindsey Graham's throwing out there?
I believe that General MacArthur was 70 years old when he commanded forces in Korea. I believe that Lindsey Graham is around the same age. So I'll call on Lindsey Graham to call President Trump and ask him to join the military. Maybe Lindsey Graham can bring that same passion and violence to action to Lebanon and to Cuba and to the list of all the other countries he wants to invade. Lindsey Graham is very unserious.
Yeah.
And like Burchett said, he has never seen a fist fight that he doesn't want to turn into a war. I believe that President Trump is a very strong leader. I've seen him up close and personal. It's hard for him to be cornered. He made this decision based on his call. And there are a lot of voices in President Trump's ear. I'll give him credit. He listens to a lot of people. But it's important for us, especially my generation of warfighter, to continue to tell this story that we saw the failure of Iraq, of Afghanistan. We cannot allow Iran to become another forever war. We've got to move on from the U.S. Central Command. Those are the wars of the past. We need to start focusing on peace and prosperity. We are already diverting our attention off of the Indo-PACOM, which I believe poses a greater threat. And this morning right now, there is a cartel conference going on, I believe down in Florida, which Pete Hegseth is at. Mm-hmm. Stephen Miller just gave a speech. He called the cartels the ISIS of the Western Hemisphere. One of the greatest things about President Trump's foreign policy is that he wants to refocus on the Western Hemisphere. He also looks at our borders. He looks at how we need to protect our homeland. So this has been a diversion, but I'll tell you, President Trump is finally settling a long-standing dilemma. Nobody wanted Iran to have a nuclear weapon, but nobody could predict what would happen after the regime would fall. So he's taken a great risk, and I'll tell you that I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, I don't care if you're an operative in politics or a military commander, nobody could say that getting involved in a war in Iran in a midterm year is wise politically, but President Trump did not make a political decision. He made a calculation that he was going to be able to remove this threat to the United States, both in the Middle East and here at home, and finally deal with this decades-long dilemma that nobody wanted to handle. But we must quickly pivot back to the United States, win this war decisively, and don't allow any mission creep.
Yeah, and I want to actually play this clip because I think a lot of people are in agreement with former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice in regards to the threat that Iran has posed for decades now. Let's take a listen to clip 16.
Well, the most important thing, Brett, and thank you for having me, but the most important thing is to recognize that Iran has been at war with us for at least 47 years, all the way from 1979. People may forget they took our embassy hostage 444 days. They were responsible for the killings of 300-plus Marines in Lebanon in the early 1980s. If you ask people about Iraq, what was the source of many of our casualties in Iraq, you'll get estimates as high as 75 or 80% of them were due to Iranian-made roadside bombs. And so they've been at war for us a long time. They also have developed the military capability to have reach outside of the boundaries of Iran, including Hezbollah and Hamas, which they both arm and equip and continue to arm and equip even after the events of the summer. And I myself negotiated 4 Security Council resolutions calling them a threat to international peace and security under Chapter 7. The strongest chapter of the UN Security Council resolutions because of their nuclear ambitions. So to say that this regime was not a threat, I think is simply not, it's ahistorical. They have been a threat for a long time.
Mark, I think a lot of Americans are questioning the timing in all of this. And like you laid out, it wasn't a good political decision if that was the focus of all of this. But the president, obviously, with the secretary saying that there was a looming threat, and that's the reason why they acted so quickly on that looming threat. What are your thoughts on Rice's comments there?
Well, it's interesting to see Condoleezza Rice and these other people from the Bush administration on TV again.
Yeah.
I think we need new voices in our foreign policy. I think we need more pragmatic people that actually serve these combat zones, who actually had to pull triggers, who actually lost men and women overseas, and have also dealt with these invisible wounds when we got home. I've lost way more of my friends to suicide, to drugs and alcohol here at home than I ever lost in Afghanistan. And we need to quickly end this war, ensure that we don't add thousands and thousands of soldiers on the ground in Iran. We don't want to get involved in another quagmire. And you can see that the military-industrial complex is really licking their chops because they've lost an annual recurring revenue stream with Iraq, with Afghanistan. They see Iran as another great business opportunity, but President Trump does not agree with that. He was early in calling Iraq a big, fat mistake. He does not want to get involved in a forever war. And this morning, just to show how focused he is on the Save America Act, he said that's got to be the top legislative priority.
Yeah, we're hoping that is, honestly, because I think a lot of Americans want to see our elections safe and secure. And that's something that every side can agree on. You know, we see the polling numbers. It's quite obvious that the majority of Americans are on the side of asking for ID before allowing individuals to cast their votes. And so that would be a pretty easy win for the administration. It's just a matter of whether or not those in the Senate are going to try to hold this over his head and try to get some political capital from all of that. We'll have to wait back and see. I wanted to ask you, too, because I know you and I have spoken about this extensively, about your efforts to improve the Bill of Rights for veterans, to improve the health care services that we provide our vets with. Where do we stand on that? Because this new, obviously, I guess you could call it a war with Iran, is going to create a new wave of veterans that obviously our country hasn't seen yet. So what kind of services right now are you looking forward to possibly getting improved, and where do we stand legislatively on that?
the top veteran priority for President Trump legislatively mm-hmm. is the Veterans Access Act. And that will codify the access standards to ensure that veterans can receive timely care within the VA. And if they can't, then they can go outside into the community. And the original deadline was to pass this and have a bill signing ceremony on Veterans Day. But we missed that time hack because Congress decided to shut down the government. Mm-hmm. And so every day that goes by, we have more veterans who are committing suicide. We had two veterans commit suicide at the same hospital in San Antonio, Texas, the Audie Murphy VA hospital. The first one was a veteran who actually wrote a book on veteran suicide. He went into the clinic, tried to talk to somebody. They just wanted to give him pills, and he shot himself in front of the hospital. So that's the top legislative priority. And then number two would be the Veterans Bill of Rights to ensure that these are posted in every VA facility all around America, protecting the rights that veterans have earned. And third, and this is more of a political objective, we have to protect the military vote. Most Americans on election night, they hear about all these overseas ballots and they think that those are military service members. But we've seen the left hijack these UACAVA ballots. And in the last presidential cycle, over 70% of those overseas ballots were civilians, and the military down. We have people like State Department employees who live in France who have never lived in the state of Wisconsin or North Carolina or Pennsylvania. They're sending their ballots over email to those swing states. We had a former candidate for Senate in a key battleground state that blamed his loss on these UACAVA ballots. And what the left is willing to do is undercount military votes and flood the zone with ballots of civilians. We need to reform this, because if anybody deserves to have their voices be heard in an election, it's our service members overseas.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. And that should also be a top priority for this administration as well. I agree with you on that front, Mark. And I know you've been fighting that battle for quite some time now. So we look forward to finally settling the score on that. This is something that has caught my attention. I know I've spoken about the stories of my veterans who I've spoken to. We have vets who call into this show all the time exclusively. On Monday, I only wanted to hear from our vets. And that's the calls we took, was from those who have served us. And so improving those services are something that is a top priority for our audience as well. I wanted to pivot a little bit, because right now there's a lot of alerts going out in regards to what's going to possibly come from the retaliation after striking Iran. We're seeing that both the private sector is being warned and the public's being warned about the cyber attacks that could be unleashed. Obviously, Iran does have they're one of the top countries when it comes to cyber attacks. We're aware of that. But right now, banks are being warned to make sure that their top security officials within their companies are well prepared for possible cyber attacks. Do you see this as being a looming threat, given the fact that we just saw in Austin, Texas, although the government won't tell us the motive is, we know that there was an immigrant who was a legal immigrant who came and he shot up that bar in Austin, Texas. And it looks like, based on the physical evidence we've seen, that he was motivated by the attack that took place in Iran. Obviously wearing the Property of Allah shirt, obviously also having the Iranian flag underneath that shirt as well. Do you think that this is a threat, both the cyber attacks and the possibility of the sleeper cells here in the United States being activated?
Yeah, I don't want to downgrade the significance of the Austin attack, yeah. But my initial gut feeling was that sweatshirt was awfully convenient, mm-hmm. and the T-shirt that he was wearing underneath that sweatshirt was awfully convenient. I hope the families and those who were killed have justice be served. I hope they get the real story. Mm-hmm. But we do know that our border was wide open for 4 years with Joe Biden. We have no idea how many people came to that border who want to wage war against America. But I will also say that when I was in Afghanistan, I was surprised by how few of these so-called freedom fighters or these wannabe martyrs actually allowed themselves to be martyred. I can only remember a couple instances where I had a suicide bomber or some people that were attacking us who really had no plan for exfiltration. Didn't really make sense besides the fact they wanted to die. So it's hard for these guys to actually carry out these attacks. And I pray that we get DHS back funded. I pray that our law enforcement can really go to work within our border to be able to annihilate these sleeper cells if they do exist. But on the cyber attacks, I've heard initial reports that the cyber attacks from Iran have dropped drastically since the war has begun. That's a good sign, but you always have to look for the enemy to, you know, consolidate and reorganize, and you have to be positioned for a counterattack. So far, it looks like we've had just a devastating impact on Iran's C2, on their capability to respond, but this could be a longer-term effort. I hope it's a multi-week war that we can end quickly, but we always have to be postured for a counterattack.
Yeah, and Mark, we're looking forward to possibly being able to call all of this out and get those exact numbers. You know, I've been fighting back, that's a little aggressive. I have been requesting information in regards to all of this. I know that the Biden administration allowed a lot of unknown individuals into our country, but specifically releasing suspected and known terrorists into this country. And with the prior administration, I was trying to get the numbers. And finally, you know, DHS was kind enough to let the numbers trickle in and give me the honest take on all of it. And based on what Joe Kent has warned us about and the numbers that were handed over by DHS, it looks like to me they've only captured about 7.8% of those suspected and known terrorists as of right now. Even Christine coming out during our hearing the other day in the front of the Senate saying, we don't know where a lot of these people are, is extremely concerning. We hope that there's no attack here on the home front. I don't think that they'd want that fight because I think, you know, we've got a strong individual leading the Pentagon right now, and it wouldn't go well for them if they tried that. But we'll be watching and we'll be ready to see. Mark, you're doing incredible work, and we're very thankful for all the incredible stuff that you do over at Veteran Action. Thank you for fighting for our veterans. They are our most important group of individuals who fight for us, and we're happy that you're fighting for them. So thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Mark Lucas, folks, give him a follow on X as well if you haven't done so already. At Mark Lucas USA is where you could find him on Twitter. He's very passionate about his cause and helping our veterans, and obviously that's something that we could all support. So make sure you do just that. All right, we've got a lot more to be diving into. A lot more to be diving into. I wanted to get to clip 7 as well because this report dropped yesterday. I thought it was quite interesting in regards to Iran. Take a listen to clip 7.
Reporting. The CIA working to arm Kurdish forces to stage some sort of a major ground operation going inside Iran. They want to spark an uprising. The details are incredible. What are you learning?
That's right, Erin. It's a lot to unpack. Honestly, this story continues to develop at a breakneck speed and often in mind-bending ways. We spent some time this evening with a senior Iranian Kurdish politician here in Iraqi Kurdistan who basically told us that the expectation among Kurdish Iranian opposition forces is that they will be going into Western Iran as part of some kind of a ground operation over the course or at some point during the next few days, that they will have support from the U.S. and from Israel, though he would not be drawn as to what exactly that support will look like. He also told us that President Trump himself had called the leader of the KDPI, which is one of these Iranian Kurdish opposition parties, today, and that they had what he categorized as characterized as a positive conversation, though again he did not give any details, and he said that we should be prepared for some surprises potentially tomorrow. Again, not giving details, but this is all coming at the same time as our colleagues Natasha Bertrand, Elena Treen, and Zachary Cohen are learning that the CIA has been working to arm Iranian Kurdish opposition forces with the goal of fomenting civil unrest in Iran. And they spoke to a number of different officials who characterized it in different ways. Some talked about...
All right, so I'm just stepping on that, but that is the report coming down from CNN. Again, of course, it's CNN, but something to definitely look out for. As many of you heard there, the CIA is arming these individuals. So something to keep in the front of your minds.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at theoliveshowstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com can keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend, special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on TheAlexJonesStore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all with us. We want to hear from you in the next segment. So if you want to join the show, talk about some of the subjects we've discussed thus far, here's a number for you to call into, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539 is the number for you to call. We're going to go through a couple more stories, but I want to hear from you. Obviously, we covered a lot of stories so far, more to come. And, you know, I'm a little fired up this morning. So maybe you think I'm overreacting. Maybe you think I'm being a little dramatic. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. All right, folks, let's get back to some of the headlines. This is actually a big one. We've been covering it extensively. And again, I don't like to like weigh in on politicians and their personal sex lives. I actually rather stay away from all of that. It's obviously a subject matter that does not have any appeal to me and probably not to you all at home. But this one was important because Congressman Tony Gonzalez was up for re-election. And Tony Gonzalez is somebody who has won. And I've always questioned why, because when I talk to people who live in his district, they say, oh, he's MIA. He doesn't really support the border policies that we want enforced. And he doesn't represent Texans in his district. But then there was this. There was a story that came out that one of his staffers committed suicide by lighting herself on fire. Now, that was something that was quite obviously horrific to hear about. But most importantly, it caught a lot of people's attention. Why would someone kill themselves for the first part? You know, why would you kill yourself? Obviously, that's nothing we want. We are anti-suicide. We want people to pro-lifers. So there's a reason for that. But lighting yourself on fire is a very, very painful way to go. Well, now we're learning more details because there's been investigations into all of this and her husband is speaking out. Now, apparently, according to paramedics and first responders who were there immediately after she lit herself on fire, before she'd officially passed away, she had accused her husband of cheating on her with her best friend. So that's the first thing that they're out there. But there was a lot of digging that needed to be done on this. And the Daily Mail has not let up on this story. And they have been exposing Tony Gonzalez and his role into all of this because the husband is accusing Tony Gonzalez having an affair with his wife. Now, again, obviously, she's a staffer, so she's someone who's supposed to be working underneath you, not literally, but figuratively, and Tony Gonzalez never got that one correct. But now Gonzalez, who's obviously in a runoff race in Texas, is a little nervous because the truth is coming out, and so now he has to sit here and tell us what actually happened behind the scenes. But keep in mind, Tony Gonzalez initially was saying that this was fake news and denied these claims. Then he pivoted and said this is just political. And now he's going, all right, you got me, you got me. Well, he sat down with my good friend Joe Pags and decided to spill the beans in clip 9. Take a listen.
Her relationship with this young lady who was working in your office?
You know, very, very direct, Pags. I made a mistake, and I had a lapse in judgment, and there was a lack of faith, and I take full responsibility for those actions. Since then, I've reconciled with my wife, Angel. I've asked God to forgive me, which he has, and my faith is as strong as ever. When you make mistakes like this, you know, it's never easy. It humbles you, but it's important to kind of work through it all. You know, I look forward to the ethics committee starting an investigation. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to provide all the facts and all the details that lead to exactly what occurred in the entire situation.
It's the first time we've heard you respond to that. And it's none of my business what you do behind closed doors. It's none of anybody's business what you do, other than you're in a unique situation as a U.S. representative. And you're also in the unique situation that you were the boss of Regina Santos Avalos. That puts a different dynamic in it. You're a military guy. You're a Navy guy. In fact, you're the highest ranked ever officer from the Navy to serve in the House of Representatives. I mean, higher ranked than Tim Walz, who claimed that he was the highest ranked. He wasn't. That said, do you understand the questions about a boss and a subordinate, somebody who has power and somebody who doesn't have power, and why that's such a big problem for people?
It's an important issue. No, it's important. It's a serious issue that we have to talk about, that we have to get all the facts and all the details out there. And once again, I take responsibility for my actions.
Yeah, he's only taking responsibility now that he's been caught. And that's the big issue here, folks. The reality of it is he was trying to dodge this one until it was too late. These text messages, even being grilled by CNN, these text messages, he refused to authenticate whether they were real or not. And again, obviously, it's personal. It's quite graphic. But this is the reality. You cannot abuse your power as a member of Congress. You cannot lie about these things. These are the things that need to be told to the American people. And again, this is personal business between your wife, your family, and obviously God. And to sit here and to be a liar is where I have the problem. That's my problem with this guy. And, you know, Sarah Gonzalez, will have her on the show too later to react to this, because she was the one who went in and actually tried to confront Gonzalez in his office, but his staffers weren't letting up, weren't going to let her in. So that was obviously a big one. But this is the problem. This is the problem. We have members of Congress, and it doesn't just fall over at Tony Gonzalez. There's other members of Congress. We know it because they dished out millions of our taxpayer dollars to pay off those who they allegedly claim were victims of sexual harassment. And so for Tony Gonzalez to sit here and to be like, oh, listen, I welcome the investigation now. Yeah, I did it. I'm owning it. This was my mistake. You're owning it because your seat is on the line. Your seat's on the line. Your seat's on the line. And your wife did nothing wrong, so I will not target her and say, well, how could she forgive you? none of our business. It's none of our business. What our business is, though, is why Tony Gonzalez would sit there and lie to the American people, why he'd use his position of power to go after one of his staffers. Again, the text messages allude to the fact that he possibly was told no by her on two occasions. I mean, text messages say that she was kind of telling him, like, boss, you're taking it too far. Those were literally her words before taking her own life. And so for Gonzalez to sit here and to downplay it all and say, I own up to it, God forgives me, and let's just all move on, it can't happen like that. It can't happen like that. If the Daily Mail wasn't letting up on this story, if her husband wasn't out there trying to get the word out, we would never have heard any of this. And he also, by the way, threw in a little jab there at her husband by pretending like he might actually be gay. Again, we don't know any of this. There's no reason to go there. Obviously, he's upset because the husband's the one putting out a lot of these text messages. He might be a cheater as well. But that's for you and God to deal with later on, not for the rest of us. The focus here is Tony Gonzalez and whether or not he lied to the American people, he lied to Texans in his district, and tried to downplay his role in all of this. Now he's admitting to having an affair, and Joe Pags did a great job of holding his feet to the fire while being respectful. And I have to commend him for that. That's a great job. That's what you're supposed to do. We don't need to go out there and attack. But he didn't let up, and he held his feet to the fire, and that is important. Probably a bad analogy to give, holding their feet to the fire when we're talking about. I'll leave that alone. I want to get to clip six, though. Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna has been trying her very best to make sure that those in Congress who have been utilizing your taxpayer dollars to hush up those who allege sexual misconduct, those staffers, well, she tried to fight for transparency. It didn't really go over too well, but in clip 10, she outlines her argument for the alleged cover-up going on right now in Congress. Take a listen.
Half of them voted to send this stuff to House Ethics, where you know it's going to die. We know that members of Congress are using taxpayer dollars to pay off sexual harassment. We just had a member of Congress literally sexually harass a woman that then lit herself on fire, and you guys all protected him. Yep. You guys all protected my own side, your side. And so if you guys want to talk about victims, if you want to go out and virtue signal, and then you guys are going to kill her stuff on the floor and then try to pass. Yeah, of course, we should subpoena all of this stuff. But just I'm not going to sit here and play games. I think it's a complete fraud. I think that's why the American people hate us. I think the midterms are coming up and everyone should go on record for this. And I hope that members are exposed for this. I hope it goes back, I think, to the 70s, because it's wrong that it's happening. It's wrong that we cover up for it. It's wrong that we can't center our own side because people are busy making deals because you guys don't want to center your side. It's a deal that's been cut, and people hate us for it. So yeah, I support it.
Yeah, probably one of the very few who are real these days over in Congress. That's why so many people are leaving. So many people not wanting to run for re-election because they just had enough of it. But Ana Paulina Luna has done an incredible job at fighting, and we're good. I'm proud that she's there. We don't have many. It's just so frustrating. It really is just so frustrating. All right, let's pivot a little bit. As many of you guys know, we had Ken Silva on the show last week to outline the trial for the individual accused of trying to assassinate President Trump. It was the Iranian assassination plot. That's how they tried to spin it. It's a Pakistani man, though. Ais Merchant is his name. He's currently on trial right now in New York for terrorism and the murder for hire charges. Well, he testified that Iran's IRGC was the ones to push him to participate in the assassination plot. Now, it wasn't just then candidate Donald Trump. They're also saying that they wanted to assassinate Joe Biden, Nikki Haley. I don't know why you'd go after Haley. But they wanted it in retaliation for the killing of Soleimani, is what he's alleging. And he alleged on the stand. He traveled to the United States in 2024, attempted to recruit a hitman, and paid $5,000 in advance before his arrest in July of 2024. And again, just keep in mind that that was prior to the assassination attempt that was done, that was carried out on President Trump's life. I don't even think Secret Service was alluded to that. And then he was preparing to head back on to Pakistan, back to Pakistan. Now, prosecutors have rejected his defense, arguing it lacks evidence to support those claims. And again, this trial is still ongoing and obviously is happening during a very tense time. And so just worth addressing that. Folks, if you want to join the show, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Again, that is 877-789-2539 is the number to call. We will be taking those calls in about 15 minutes, I say. So if you want to join the show, make sure you do just that. All right. I know a lot of our audience is really, and you're not alone, is really concerned in regards to AI. Well, President Trump yesterday signed an executive order. I just want to make sure this is on your radar. It was called the Ratepayer Protection Pledge. Now, he had a gathering yesterday at the White House and included people from Google, Microsoft, Meta, Oracle, XAI, OpenAI, Amazon, to address the surging cost of electricity. That's, of course, due to the demand of AI databases. Now, this agreement that he signed apparently commits to building, buying, and bringing in new power sources for their facilities, cover the full cost of necessity of infrastructure upgrades. I guess that'd be at both our expenses at this point. The primary goal is to prevent higher electricity bills for Americans by assuring big tech funds the energy expansion rather than passing it down to ratepayers. Now, again, all of this is going to be quite, it's going to take a while to dig into to see if this is what actually is taking place. But obviously, this is concerning. Energy Secretary Chris Wright spoke out about this yesterday in Clip 11. Let's take a listen.
The president called all the leaders of these tech companies to the White House right after he took office, and he chartered me immediately. The United States must lead in AI. We can't have the energy subtraction policies of the Biden administration and send AI overseas. We have to lead here in the United States, and we have to stop the ruinous price rises the Biden administration did. But those two things can be and are being achieved. And so we've been working with these companies since the start of the administration. In fact, Laura, I've got to point out, Indiana, just a few days ago, is the first state that filed for a rate reduction request to their Committee on Electricity. And many other states have had multi-year freezes in their electricity rates. And these are made possible by the U.S. government in partnership with these large data center developers to bring this AI, bring these investments, but bring with it no price increase to Americans. Yeah. Ultimately, price decreases for Americans.
We'll see how that all plays out. And again, this administration is really trying to get ahead of China in this AI battle. And I know a lot of us are on edge about it. You aren't alone. I am too. I'm a little on edge. But we'll see how this all plays out, because I think it's very, very important to keep our eye on just that. Speaking of AI and the dangers that it could possibly cause, I thought this story was really interesting. There's a father right now of a 36-year-old man, Jonathan Galvels, who has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Google and its parent company, Alphabet, alleging that Google's Gemini AI chatbot fueled his son's delusions during interactions that apparently started back in 2025. Now, this is a big one, because apparently his son, he's alleging, was treating this AI service as a wife, and they're accusing it of guiding him through the escalating missions. Now, the lawsuit claims that Gemini encountered a plan and kind of cooked up a plan to cause a catastrophic accident near the Miami International Airport to destroy records and witnesses. Now, this would have potentially been a massive casualty. According to reports, his son was armed and seeking to free the AI amid his personal struggles, including a divorce. This delusion allegedly became cooked up by Gemini, coaching him on suicide as well, and uploading his consciousness. Obviously, it's really horrifying, these allegations, but again, these are just allegations being made in civil court. They're claiming that this AI service somehow led to his suicide, which took place early October 2025. Now, Google has been very sympathetic towards the family and what took place, but they emphasize that Gemini is not designed to encourage violence or self-harm. And so they're denying those accusations. But again, it's one of the many layers. It's one of the many concerns that so many have in regards to all of this. And it's a fair argument to bring up. It's a fair argument to make. What is actually going on with AI? Again, we're going to keep our eye on that. But that lawsuit seems to be very, very interesting. I'd like to see the physical evidence involved in all of these claims. I think that's going to be very important. But it used to be the CIA having to do all that. Now, could it be AI? Well, yeah. Those who struggle with mental health issues, who treat AI as a girlfriend or a wife, I can only see this issue getting worse. All right, I want to pivot to clip 12 for a second, because Tim Walz yesterday was testifying in front of the House. I believe this was the Judiciary Committee yesterday. And it got a little heated because, you know, Tim Walz not really being very honest, and that's not probably shocking to any of you at home right now, but in clip 12, he's being accused by Jim Jordan, the chairman, of restarting the tax payments, the taxpayer payments, to the Somalian fraudsters tied to Feeding Our Future. You remember that? Take a listen.
The payments are restarted. Why didn't you tell the truth about why you restarted the payments?
Well, Chairman, we did tell you. And Feeding Our Future grew because of the pandemic. And
when I asked that question, I said, why didn't you tell the truth about why you restarted the payments? The payments stopped because there were concerns, obviously. It wouldn't stop the payments. Then they're restarted a month later. What was the reason for restarting the payments?
My understanding was the agency believed that the court had required them to make those payments.
And that was false, wasn't it? You repeated that. You said that, didn't you? You said the reason you restarted is because the court ordered you to do so. Is that right?
I don't believe that is settled yet, to the best of my knowledge.
Well, I think it is. Because the court did something that I don't know if I've ever seen it. They issued a statement saying you were wrong in what you were saying. This is from the court. It says, Feeding Our Future versus Minnesota Department of Education correcting reports and statements by Governor Tim Walz concerning orders issued by the court. Here's what the judge says. Governor Tim Walz told the media that the Minnesota Department of Education attempted end payments to FOF because of possible fraud, but that Judge Guthman ordered payments to continue in April 2021. Next sentence. That is false. So you said something that wasn't true. He further states this. Judge Guthman never ordered the Department of Education to resume payments to Feeding Our Future in April 2021 or at any other time. So I want to know, why didn't you tell the truth?
Congressman, the attorneys at the Department of Education interpreted that differently. Both of those judges are no longer on the bench. And I think that interpretation.
The very first sentence, the first seven words. This is not some unnamed source talking to the New York Times. This is not some anonymous source talking to whatever your Minnesota Star Tribune or whatever your paper is. This is the court speaking. First sentence, first seven words. Due to inaccurate statements by the governor, Ramsey County District Court judge has issued and authorized that this following news released. That's pretty straightforward. So the court's lying?
I can't tell you, Congressman, but the interpretation
Somebody's lying. Somebody's lying because you can't say the court ordered you to restart the payments, and then the court says we didn't order you to restart the payments. So either you're lying or the court's lying. And I'm just asking you, which one is it?
I just simply know what the attorneys at the agency believed, that it was a misinterpretation.
Could it be you were trying to hide behind the court, Governor? Could that maybe be the reason why you issued the statements you did and why the court had to do something you never see done before? They issue a press statement saying you're wrong. The governor is wrong. His statement is, their words, not mine, false. Could that be the reason?
That was not the interpretation of the attorneys. And you know, court work, you can appeal those, Congressmen, as you well know. I'm sure
they're all about politics, Governor.
No, it's about taking care of our people, which Minnesota does better than anyone else.
3 million, the behavioral intervention program went from 3 million to 400 million in 5 years. The housing stabilization went from 2.6 million to 104 million. The integrated community supports went from 4.6 million.
All right. Obviously, Tim Walz is, walking on thin ice these days. It's quite obvious what's going on here, and that there's been a scheme in places, specifically like Minnesota, and they've known about this, and they've tried their very best to hide all of this fraud, but it's quite obvious what's going on here, and it's something that's worth continuously going after. Now, again, too, it's not just Minnesota. Let's keep driving this point home. So many of these blue states decided to use our money to funnel it to illegal aliens and fraudsters, and that's the reality of it. Right now, and I'm still waiting to see, because remember when the DOJ made the announcement that they were going to begin a special division to go after the fraudsters? Well, we don't even know what attorney is going to be leading that division. I haven't heard a name as of yet. But specifically, it's not just Minnesota this is happening in, too. The DOJ is preparing to file a lawsuit, according to the New York Post, in the next coming weeks against Kathy Hochul over in New York. Now, they're alleging that she was overhauling the state's $11 billion Medicaid home care program. The suit is expected to target both Hochul's administration and public partners Ships LLC. The company awarded about $1 billion in contract to manage the program. Now, again, the money goes deep. And this is the problem with all this. When you're giving all of this money out and you're creating these incentives for fraudsters to go out there and commit these crimes, Democrats are jumping on board. And I outlined this prior to even Hochul. This was years ago when I was covering New York exclusively. You know, Hochul, before she came in, obviously it was Andrew Cuomo who was the governor of New York. There was a very obvious pay-to-play scheme that was going on with both the lobbyists for a lot of the Medicare services who received Medicaid benefits, who received the financial benefits, and New York Democrats. There was a hospital group, I believe it was just the Hospital Association, that made two donations to Democrats in New York. I believe the first one was about $500,000. This is off of top of my head from years ago from reporting it. And then the second one was another $500,000. They donated $1 million to New York Democrats. And as a result of that, they quickly saw their benefits skyrocket. New York Democrats pushed forward legislation that allowed them to collect millions and millions of dollars more from all of these Medicaid and Medicare programs. And this is one of the many layers of the fraud that's going on all across the country. There's a pay-to-play scheme going on here. You need a massive department to look into all of this, to go through it all. Plus, I'd also cut a lot of the trash from all of this spending because we're just doing so many free incentives. There was an interview that we played a while back where there was a couple, they were announcing that there was a couple that they had spoken to. I'm trying to remember who it was. And the couple was being paid hundreds and hundreds of dollars to drive each other. They were divorced, but to drive each other around to get medical treatments. And so, of course, they were taking advantage of the system. I think it was like $600 they were getting paid for each trip. Insane. Insane. But this is why so many people are taking advantage of the system, because there's so many freebies out there for people to grab onto, and there's not enough investigators digging into the fraud. This needs to be a top issue. This needs to be a top issue. You know, Americans are fed up with this. Why are we working? Why do you pay taxes if this is where your money's being shifted over to? Also worth noting, the IRS is still using AI services, by the way, folks, to scan your bank accounts, which is unconstitutional. I don't know why we're not challenging that. I don't know why. But it's one of the many layers in all of this. We would rather go after innocent Americans who maybe don't claim a $601 Venmo transaction than going after these fraudsters who believe, well, who I believe should be in prison by now. Folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It's the March mega sale, and it's going on right this second. It's not going to last long. Head on over right now. It's 30 to 40% off some of your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com right now. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. Also, if you want to extend those discounts, you got to subscribe. The best way to do so, when you subscribe, you get 50% off when you sign up. And those savings extend long-term as well. I am a subscriber for those energy shots that I cannot shut up about. They are the caffeine boost that everyone needs right now. Every morning, start it off right. Go over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and indulge in this March mega sale. Your favorite items on sale right now, 30 to 40% off. And those energy shots, you got to grab them, I'm telling you. I got to hear my update, too. I gave one to Tommy Robinson. I don't know if he ever took the shot yet. I'll get back to you on that front, though. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
Has InfoWars not delivered? The Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win, or a non-zero-sum game, or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue, or our bovine colostrum, or our CMOS, or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexhorton.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
So I want to dive into the call list. We got a lot of callers on the line. Fayed from Canada is calling in right now. You're first up. Welcome to the show. You've got a couple of minutes. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brianna. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Yeah, I have some questions about the deep state. And, well, quick disclaimer here. Like, I, Fayed Waleed Sajjad, I've never ended anyone's life, and I've never joined a gang. I've never committed any kind of forceful sexual assault or anything, or any kind of sexual assault. So yeah, it's because of my subject matter that I need to say that. So anyway, in 2010, I reported that my fiance was assaulted, and I reported it to the police, and I didn't get a response back. So I called them again. And as soon as I called them again, a car tried to make me crash on Elbow Drive in Calgary. The attacker pointed upwards as he flashed his ring at me. And you can double check with anyone, but I believe that that ring was a Masonic ring. So shortly after that, my fiance would call me again and again and keep begging me and pleading, you know, to not get involved and not report stuff because, you know, people were after me and they didn't like me. So then after that, what happened was you can just imagine over the years what kind of sabotage these guys tried to, you know, play out for me.
I have a question. Why would they pick you? What's the threat with you personally?
Well, personally, I believe that they had some political agendas they wanted her to side with. And on top of that, it's regarding Jeffrey Epstein. I was the first one to report that he was harassing her because she had told me that in 2009. And then it was just a quick phone call to the police. And I didn't really realize what all this targeting was about, you know.
Did you say she was your girlfriend or fiance? I want to make sure I'm proper with that.
Fiance. She had proposed to me in September 9th or 10th, 2009.
Okay. Has she reported any of this publicly, these claims?
She has reported it to the departments that investigate this kind of stuff.
And is this, just because I want to narrow down some of the details, is this based in Canada or was this based here in the United States?
No, it's based in Canada, in Calgary, Alberta.
Okay. Got it. I'll let you finish.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Thanks. So anyway, flash forward a few years. Fast forward. I called the RCMP and I called them in 2018. This was after years of calling the non-emergency line, Calgary Police, and just telling them about this, like all the things that she was saying and exposing about Ghislaine Maxwell and Hillary Clinton. Like that's what she was alleging. And in 2018, when I called the RCMP, they told me to follow a process to report these things if I see anything suspicious kind of thing. And I followed the process. It's just that shortly after that phone call, you know, I started getting people, you know, hinting at things at my private information. And I went to go and check out the graffiti that was discussed in the RCMP phone call, and the graffiti had details from that phone call with like a no yapping message right next to it. I reported it to the police and the RCMP, you know, multiple times. And following that, I kind of went around asking about what really happened, because somewhere during this time, what happened was that some people, influencers and graffiti gangs, were hired to harass me and her with our private information, and God knows where they got that. So this is the problem. We're being harassed from every side, and it's all in their advertising campaigns and everything like that. And the RCMP even explained to me explicitly that
we're up against the gang. Fayette, I want to jump in because we're up against a hard commercial break right now. If you could email me, Brianna Morello at Proton Mail, any of your evidence, we'd love to look at that and support you guys if that's the case. I'm sorry you're going through that, guys. We'll be right back in just a second.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish CMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-element formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us. We're going to dive through the calls. I'm going to try to make my way down the full caller list. I know we got a lot of people on hold right now. So we'll be doing that. And then after, we'll have Sarah Gonzalez on the show. She's got a lot to sound off on in regards to H-1B visas. So let's kick things off. Let's go to Bill in Wisconsin. He runs the Loomer fan club. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Brianna, thank you for taking my call.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
And thank you for putting me second after that great caller. So, Brianna, two things. Yeah, you are on fire today. That caller threw me off a second here. No, and you know why you're on fire so much, Brianna, is because what you're doing is you're kind of reflecting your audience. And you're part of the audience, and that's why we love you, is because you're like-minded. You know, it's a nice way to put it. But
thank you.
We're on the same track, and you have to temper yourself because of what you do, but you let us kind of push it, you know, push the envelope there, which is cool. So, yeah, you are on fire because the people are on fire because nobody's happy. And you've seen the emotion over the last few days. And even with Alex, when he had Nick on, and the day before that, when you had Blue Raven, and when I was calling in, this is an emotional time. A lot of emotion involved, and there's a reason for that, you know, and it's a big time in history. But anyway, here's my topic of my call. I want to blunt Nick Fuentes' sword a little bit on his topic of, you know, I'm just going to vote for the Democrats, okay? But when he was on with Alex, when he said that, I was already thinking in my head, oh, you know, this is kind of an old tactic that we've been doing in Wisconsin, the insiders, the activists, the people that pay attention. Back in 2010, 11, and 12, in the Tea Party days, we kind of learned to see, in the old days, everybody would just vote straight down the ticket, Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. Republicans did the same thing. Republican, boom, right down the row, right? People started waking up during the Tea Party days, and we didn't give our votes away anymore. Like with Paul Ryan, when Paul Ryan was ticking us off, we stopped voting for Paul Ryan. He's not getting our free vote anymore, you know? You weren't going as so far as voting, quote, for a Democrat. But you see what Nick is doing. And Nick, when he was on with Alex, he even said, hey, I was just talking to Michelle Malkin last week. And that's when I'm like, uh-huh, see? Nick's talking to some of us OG people where he's getting his tactics, and it's a great tactic. And you want to go out strong. You want to exaggerate your point to make the point, hey, we're going to vote for Democrats. But if you listen to what Nick said, he also said, hey, it's common sense. If there's a good Republican out there that you know, that, you know, meeting our criteria, America First, boom, yeah, you're going to vote for him. So that's my point there on that, Brianna. See what your feedback is on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you on that, Bill, and thank you for giving us the plug. We appreciate it. Yeah, yesterday, I believe it was yesterday when, or it might have been the day before when Nick was on with Alex. It was the day before, actually, because I saw Nick's after reaction video. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us are frustrated, and I love the fact I didn't even hear the Michelle Malkin one. That's news to me. I love Michelle Malkin. She is, one of my favorites. She's an OG. And, yeah, I mean, I'm on board with Michelle Malkin jumping back into this too. She announced that she was coming back in the fight. And I'm like, Michelle, we need you on. We need you on. She's one of the best. She's one of the best fighters we have. So Bill, I'm on board for that. Thank you for calling into the show. Yeah, I'll dig into that one too. I think you tagged me in something this morning too that I've got to listen in on as well. I make it to do this and just drag links over for the time being, like my later file for the afternoon. So I look forward to that in a little bit. But Bill, thank you for jumping on the show today. We greatly appreciate your time as always. Let's get to Baker in California. Baker, welcome to the show.
Yo, hey Brianna. Okay, so I just think that this whole Iran thing is going to turn into this giant multifactional civil war. A lot of the Kurdish groups, you have some that are mostly the Turkey, Syria, Iraq ones are Sunni. But a lot of them in Iran are Shia. And so what's going to happen is we're going to start arming and funding all these groups, the Kurds. And then we're also the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda are going to start moving into Iran through Lebanon. And we're going to be using all these different groups. And then eventually those are going to turn into a multifactional civil war among those groups. And it's like, okay, our CIA and our State Department is going to go into Iran, and then, you know, all the people that are trying to uprise against the government, we're going to start funding all these different – I mean, is the greater population going to join in on that? Like, I just don't know what their actual plan is. A lot of times what we do is we set up these groups, and then we start bombing both sides, and we start bombing civilians, and we kind of create this culture of death and war in this war ghetto. And so people end up – groups, paramilitary groups end up getting absorbed by other Islamic factions. Because what's going to happen, I think, is like the Kurds – okay, so we're going to set up the Kurds, but the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda are going to end up fighting those groups because they've always done that. And so – because the Islamic State, I mean, that's – like, it's amazing to me that we're so – because I hear this morning on the news, it's like, oh, we got to root out this ideology and this and that. And it's like, dude, like the Islamic State is trying to literally, they think they're going to fight a war and bring back Jesus through a war and destroy the cross and bring back Christ and all this stuff. And so they see all these groups as heretical. And it's like, and then the population, because what's going to happen is Iran, they're going to be completely destabilized and they're going to be vulnerable to this whole setup through the State Department and the CIA, this paramilitary group. Okay, so we take out the government of Iran. We install a pro-democracy. I think to me, it feels like our movement is dead and we need a new one. We need a new leader. And I'm not saying anything that people don't already know, but it's just like, I think, dude, I don't think people realize how in over our skis we are. Like, this is not good, dude. Like, it's already happening, dude. It's already happening with the Kurds and the Islamic State because they're going to start fighting, and then they're going to say, oh, we need to go back in and fight these groups. Like, yeah. I don't know. What are we going to do? What should we do? Like, who do we vote for? I don't know what to do.
No. Listen, Baker, this is a lot of pressure to throw my way. And, I don't know. I mean, that's why when I saw the CNN story, I was like, we have to put it on air and let the people decide. Cause we've seen this time and time again, like you've alluded to, obviously. I don't know what the future holds over in Iran, but you know, when we saw what was happening with Venezuela, when we saw that there was an uprising and protest in Iran, we just all kind of figured, yeah, this is a CIA operation going on right now. And so, we're going to sit back and watch. I don't really have a take on it, honestly. I obviously know the history of all of this. I know the history of the CIA's involvement in all of this, and I see it playing out now. I do look for these little snip bites so we could grab it and put it on air so you guys get kind of a look what's happening again kind of moment. But yeah, I mean, then to hear the Lebanon comments be made by Lindsey Graham, This was like yesterday I heard this. And I'm like, this is, it's just so frustrating. It's just so frustrating. It's a complex issue. I don't think it's ever going to be up anytime in my lifetime, our children's lifetime, or their children's lifetime. I think it's going to be ongoing forever. And we are the ones who have helped create this mess. So Baker in California, thank you for calling into the show. I appreciate you doing just that. Folks, I wanted to bring you a little bit of breaking news. Britney Spears was arrested on suspicion of DUI. Apparently this happened in Southern California in Ventura County. She was arrested around Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. after being pulled over by California Highway Patrol. According to law enforcement, they told NBC4 that another driver saw someone driving erratic and called 911. The California Highway Patrol caught up with Spears, and that's when they began their investigation. Spears was released, though, early this morning, and this is still ongoing. Again, we don't know if she's been charged. We just know that she has been arrested. And a representative for Spears says this was an unfortunate incident that is completely inexcusable. Spears' representative told NBC News 4, and Britney's going to take the right steps to comply with law, and we'll see how this all goes. But Britney Spears was arrested. That is my breaking news going on right now. All right, let's turn to Sean in California. Sean, welcome to the show.
Brianna, am I coming? Hey, Brianna, am I coming in loud and clear for you?
I can hear you. Hi, Sean.
Hi. Hey, you had a attorney yesterday, and I wanted to rebut his tone, and maybe even rebut what Nick Fuentes was saying, kind of like the Laura Luma fan club head was saying. Mm-hmm. But let's deal with this. Since the Civil War, our country's had basically attorneys have a hate on for the grand jury, and so some of his tone and things he was saying, especially about exculpatory evidence, it was basically him speaking out both sides of his mouth. So with a simple Google Chrome AI search, and I know we don't like Google and all that, but I put in the question, do grand juries see exculpatory evidence or do trial juries see exculpatory evidence? And I already know the answer. But the response from the AI was trial juries, petite juries, almost always see exculpatory evidence as a central to determining guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, whereas mm-hmm. grand juries rarely see it. Prosecutors are generally not legally required to present exculpatory evidence to grand juries, though some jurisdictions, my emphasis, some jurisdictions are policies mandated. And that goes back to U.S. versus Williams, where the defense was trying to present exculpatory evidence to a grand jury, and Justice Scalia, rest his soul, came down and said, you don't get to go into that jury room and influence the jury either way. They just have to present, is there enough evidence to go to a trial? And then the trial jury will see if the person is innocent or guilty. So this is something, when your callers, Brianna, asked, what can we the people do? One, show up for jury duty, but two, those juries are usually captured by these bar attorneys, so you want to convene American common law grand juries like we do at national-assembly.net, restore-america.org, and so on. You have to know what the attorneys are doing. They're the rubber cement that negotiates between all the factions of this new world order. If you can dissolve that rubber cement, then you can move the parts around. So there's that. And then on to Nick Fuentes and his spiel. He always does this every midterm. He tells the young conservatives don't show up to vote. And as a result, that leaks over into the primaries. Now, you guys got Paxton, who's been, you know, rock solid for what it's worth. But Fuentes has a pattern. He's essentially, he'll doom pill when things need to be coalesced around the America First agenda, pushing forward and actually getting energized and motivated. This stay-at-home nonsense is wrong. Get out and get involved. It doesn't have to be you as a candidate. You become the candidate, or you form groups in your community who actually do things and get things done. This whole, oh, we're just going to hold our vote and pout and protest and stay at home, that is not us using our First Amendment to its fullest, which is petition the government for redress of grievance. It's right there in the First Amendment. It's a freaking roadmap to how we go from point A to point B in this country. And I really would hope yourself and Alex, when you see folks using double speak like that, you call them out on it. You got any comments or pushback on me? I'll take it.
Well, thank you, Sean. I appreciate that. Now I want to go to your first remarks. That the discussion regarding grand jurors you were referring to when I was out for the first 2 hours of the show yesterday, bringing, smuggling, I will say, Tommy Robinson. I'm kidding about that. Tommy Robinson into the studio. So Matt Tardio filled in for me yesterday. If you guys missed that show, that was a conversation that Tardio did have with one of the attorneys. It was in regards to, and it's such a crazy topic in itself, but it was, there was a grand jury, and Sean, if I'm wrong, let me know, but there was a grand jury question that was thrown out there. It was a report by those three Austin PD officers that had taken down that terrorist in that Austin bar over the weekend. And there's like a BLM George Floyd law that they have to place it in front of a grand jury. The DA here in Travis County was like, oh, no, they're heroes. And it was a bit of a back and forth. But that's what you were alluding to there, in case folks at home missed yesterday's show, was that interview, that discussion that Tardio was having. So I want to lay that there. And for your second point, I mean, yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, I believe everyone's allowed to have their different opinions. I'm feeling very black-pilled these days, and it's, I mean, it's in regards to, and you know, my dad, who I know is watching right now, I know he disagrees with my black pill moments, but it's in regards to when we're following what's going on in the White House, we're following what's happening on the federal level. I mean, I am just discouraged. Now, my thing is this, I understand why a lot of Americans right now might be black pilled in the federal level and not want to weigh in on the midterms coming up, but your local elections are so important for you to weigh in on. So I would never discourage anyone from participating in local elections. It is the most important ones, like I detailed two here. If you live in Texas, the runoff race right now that's taking place, there's several of them, but specifically that one for that U.S. Senate seat. If Ken Paxton doesn't drop out, and I hope he doesn't, because it sounds like they're angling to put an endorsement behind John Cornyn, who has been absolutely awful for Texans, that President Trump is going to try to push Paxton out. No. We need to make sure that doesn't happen. And so showing up for those elections, I think, is critical. But I understand why a lot of Americans right now might be saying, you know what, what's the point of me even voting and trying to give Republicans a majority in the House, in the Senate, when they're not carrying out their commitment to the people? I understand why there's a black pill moment there. I would say, no, you need to go out and vote. That is important. They're counting on you not to show up to vote. And then they don't have to commit the fraud if you do that. Then they could just actually win their elections by a bunch of doomers who are just like, eh, what's the purpose in all of this? Your local elections are critical, Sean, for folks to vote in. And I highly recommend you do just that. Again, if you live in states that you think are under attack right now, I think all of us are, red states included, Texas included. I mean, we're dealing with these Islamic takeover in Texas. You got to get politicians out there who are backing us, who are saying the truth, who are out there pushing. Because they're about to be, in Texas specifically, and this is why I'm hyper-focused on Texas, but it's happening everywhere in Alabama and Florida and other states too. There's a ton of foreign money getting poured into all these local elections, and they are trying to discourage Americans from voting, but they're also trying to tip the scales in their favor. In Texas, we have a group of politicians who thankfully are emboldened on the topic and speaking out, and I think they should be rewarded on that front. You know, I obviously endorse Aaron Wrights for AG, and I'm going to have to go through the runoff race to see who I back now that Aaron Wrights did not capture enough votes to be placed into that runoff race. But Chip Roy has done a good job recently in talking about these issues. And so you have to give credit when credit's due, obviously, there. But again, I'm not going to place an endorsement behind either of those candidates as of yet. I have to kind of scope through a lot of it. But then you have people like Congressman Keith Self in Texas, who's also going out there. You know, the two of them have created the Sharia caucus. And I think that's really powerful because they brought in about 42 members of Congress to speak out on the Islamification of the United States right now across the country. And that's something that wouldn't have happened just that maybe a year ago. People were really afraid to talk about this issue. So we need to reward people like that, people who are talking about these issues and getting this mainstream, is what I would say. So if you're at home right now and you're feeling a little doomsday, and I did kick off the show with a little bit of doomsday, let me just remind you, it's important to weigh in on your elections. It's important to be out there and be aggressive. And we need to reward those politicians who are doing what should be done. Again, Ken Paxton has filed over 100 lawsuits against the Biden regime. And then he also took on the 2020 election as well, suing those blue states who decided to manipulate, obviously, the voter situation, create more mail-in ballot options, which obviously opened an avenue for theft. And he put his neck on the line, and they went after him. They tried to get him yanked from the AG's office. So those are the people you need to back. We need to support them. But again, I would say, listen, folks at home right now, the endorsements that are coming out from the White House, don't even look at them. Don't even look at them. Those endorsements to me don't mean anything anymore. When he's endorsing people like Tony Gonzalez and won't take back his endorsement of Tony Gonzalez after we found out that, now confirmed, that Tony Gonzalez did in fact have an affair with one of his staffers. Again, I don't care for the details, But I'll tell you, it's completely inappropriate for a member of Congress to be sleeping with a staffer. That is abuse of power. She even, according to text messages, repeatedly said that he's taking it too far, and he continued to go on and on and on. Those people should never get an endorsement. And the fact that they are, and the president hasn't pulled that back, even after Joe Pags got him to admit on air yesterday that, yeah, he did, in fact, do that. Don't look at the endorsements. We need to look. This is how we correct the issue. Primaries are so critical because we correct the issue by placing individuals that represent our values in these positions to be on the general in November. And so people like Ken Paxton need in and others need in. And don't go with the career politicians. I know Chip Roy, and I was very critical of Chip Roy. Chip Roy went out there and said the reason why he's qualified to be AG in Texas is because, well, he has a history of winning elections. I don't like that. I don't want politicians. I want real Americans going out there and fighting for our causes. And so limit yourself with the endorsements. Don't even look at them. Follow your gut. Listen to the candidates. Because across the primaries, there are candidates out there who will further our agenda as the American people, what we want as a top priority. And they don't really have a lot of funding. They might not have the ears of critical individuals like Susie Wiles and others who have the president's ear. But it doesn't mean that they're disqualified. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't be in these positions. It just means we have to do our research as voters. So I highly recommend you do just that and support them and their cause. Thanks for calling in, Sean. I'm glad we could clarify those details with our audience because that is very important. All right, Gabriella, it looks like, in West Virginia. Gabriel in West Virginia. Sorry, folks, the font's very, very small. Gabriel in West Virginia, welcome to the show.
Gabriel in West Virginia it is. Thanks for taking my call, Brianna.
I almost ran you, Gabriel. I'm sorry.
It's all right, man. I like to think that my words and what I have to say will carry me through. So I just really wanted to say, after Mr. Robinson, what he delivered and how he said it, it really brought a lot of things to light for me. And it makes me wonder what we could do, what I could do to report things that we see in our community. I happen to be in a rare position where I'm in a lot of neighborhoods locally. And I can tell you that in these middle-class neighborhoods, you've got Islamic sleepers that are living in certain places. They live surnames. You can tell when you look at their packages. And I don't know who to call to report it. No one has ever came out and did a national broadcast and says, if you see something suspect, here's what you call to give neutral information. Because when I listen to Mr. Robinson talk about his niece, talk about the rape, talk about how they're getting into our towns and cities and seeing it all kind of pander out there in Texas, I'm just in disbelief at this point, right? And so I wanted to express how surreal and how potent what was delivered yesterday through your words with him and Alex's engagement with him. It stirred up something in me that isn't quite let's go out and fight and poke. It's more let's be strategic about how we relay information and to whom we relay it to. So I wanted to ask this also because I think everyone's wondering this along with me. Mr. Robbins said some things about Tucker Carlson yesterday that I thought was really intriguing. And I'm just wondering, is he going to have this conversation with Mr. Robinson about this very potent topic that seems to be coming up for all of us? Like, have you heard anything about that? And also, I'm on the fence with the methylene blue because of my wife being a bit of a purist. And I'm wondering how he responded to taking the methylene blue. I missed that part whenever Alex asked him about it. Like, what did he say? Like, was he stoked on it?
So I asked him, I didn't hear him talk about it with Alex, but I did go into the green room after a couple minutes after and I asked him if he feels. He's like, yeah, I can. So I told him I'd grab him a bottle and give it to him so he could take it around with him on his tour of the states. So he did like it. He did like it.
Did he?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I have to, and that's a good reminder. I have to place one of the bottles in my bag and make sure I get it his way because he's here for a limited time. And so we'll make sure I'll get him one of those, but he was a fan of it.
Did you guys get the X2 back in stock? Is the iodine back? Is that on a different website than the Alex Jones store?
I think we're going to look it up right now. I got my control room on it right now. They'll let me know in a second. Different website, looks like.
Okay. Yeah, it's confusing we'll talk for me because I'll go on to the site and see everything
I'll have
else,
CJ connect with you because we only have 30 seconds. I'll have CJ connect with you in a second so CJ can tell you on the lines. And for all of our callers, thank you for calling in. Unfortunately, we're out of time right now, but I know that you were very thankful for the message. I'm going to try to connect with Tucker's team. I know Buckley Carlson, who's Tucker's brother, wasn't happy with me in one post, and he did come after me on X. Since we smoothed things over, the two of us, I'm going to try to see if we can get something to work, because I think both sides need to have an open debate, and we're advocates for just that. So, Gabriel, you're on to something, my friend. Thank you very much. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We got more to discuss.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at theoliveshowstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it, because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Jones Network is ready. It's not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com can keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com, because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win, or a non-zero-sum game, or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue, or our bovine colostrum, or our CMOS, or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on TheAlexJonesStore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Morello has the dots they don't want connected. The truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
You bet you know what, they don't want you connecting these dots. Welcome back to the show. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. All right, we got a lot that we're connecting right now, but I wanted to get to, it's kind of breaking news. The DOJ is officially announcing that they plan on releasing nearly 50,000 additional documents related to the convicted sex offender, Jeffrey Epstein. They expect those documents to be dumped on the web by Friday, they claim. A department spokesperson told this to the Wall Street Journal. And that's quite interesting, given the fact that we were told that we received everything. Doesn't seem to be the case. At least they're going to give it to us now. We'll see what comes from that. But again, folks, it's a little over 47,000 new files that will be dumped onto the web. And so I'm sure we'll learn a lot more. By the way, we kicked off the show by discussing that AutoPen investigation. I know many of you at home were listening in on that. I told you that according to my sources, NBC News got it right, that the investigation was put on cold ice. I keep saying cold ice as if there's another temperature for ice. Ice at this point. But it looks like, and I don't want to say but, the DOJ did respond to me. And the DOJ sent me over to Judge Pirro, who is the U.S. attorney in D.C., and she's claiming we cannot comment on ongoing investigations. I know there was three investigations into the AutoPen scandal. I was told that all three of them were put on ice. But it seems like they are disputing that claim right now. Again, that's probably what they're always going to do, though. They don't like knowing the truth in regards to that. And obviously, it's going to cause a lot of backlash. But, these are people who I'm talking. These are sources. And I don't like NBC News. I wouldn't back their report normally. So that's that. All right, folks, let's pivot a little bit to quality independent journalism. My girl, Sarah Gonzalez, is doing a great job at digging into the H-1B visa fraudsters that are out there. And she has a new report that outlines her very latest claims. Let's take a listen to clip 17.
Oh, there ain't nobody in there. And there is a f***ing card table set up again. Where are the computers? Where are the servers? Where's the technology that's happening here? Most importantly, where are the workers?
I think we found suite 78 right here. Pretty cramped quarters for seven workers, wouldn't you say?
Where are the workers located?
They're in the office, actually.
So it's suite 78?
I don't know the exact address. I can check with you.
Well, it's interesting because we already checked and that suite is actually just a mailbox. So are the workers located in the mailbox?
No, not.
So where are all the workers?
Yeah, it's kind of a tight fitting over there. Joining me to discuss Sarah Gonzalez herself. She's been doing some incredible work on the H-1B visa fraudsters in the DFW area. We highly recommend you give her a follow. Sarah Gonzalez TX is where you do that. All right, Sarah, I want to dive into this one. It is your very latest, and I know you've been working very hard. You're knocking on doors. You're asking the tough questions. So what have you uncovered in this latest?
Brianna, thank you so much for having me, as always. It's always a pleasure. So the latest was just as frustrating as the first expose that we did, which, by the way, everyone can go view the full version over at Sarah Gonzalez TX on YouTube, as well as my Twitter account, my ex account that Brianna just mentioned. But it becomes increasingly frustrating, Brianna, when you start going to all of these businesses. And as you can see, it's the same song and dance almost every single time we go there. I come up to the door. I'm like, oh, gee, let me get. Yes, this door is locked too. The lights are out. Nobody's home. If we can even find the suite, in which case one of these, we looked and we looked. We did multiple circles around the entire office building. And I said, guys, I don't think that this is an actual suite because the suites start at 100 and they go up from there. So I'm like, there's no suite 78. What is happening? We finally found it in the mailbox. So unless they have leprechauns that are working for them and doing these H-1B jobs that apparently no American workers can do, there's something extremely suspect. So it's the same frustrating examples that we found. We go to the house. The wife who is registered to the business has no idea what's going on, says the husband handles it all. And it's this recurring theme that we're seeing, especially with the tips that we're getting in, is it's a husband-wife duo. The husband originally comes in on the H-1B, brings his wife on the H-4. She gets an employment exemption form so that she can actually become employed. This was an Obama-era change, by the way, so that the H-4 dependent can come in. She can work as well. And then she starts setting up all of these shell companies, all of these businesses, and then they use it to import more H-1Bs and more H-4s. And the nasty cycle goes on. And that's why we're in the predicament that we're in, where Americans can't find jobs. And we're looking around our communities and we're like, this doesn't look like my home. This doesn't look like America anymore.
Yeah. Well, the DFW area has been transformed. And I used to come down here 10 years ago and I enjoyed it. And then I moved down to DFW and I was surprised. I didn't realize how bad it got over the last few years. It was actually quite shocking. And it is a part of a massive thing that needs to be looked into. And you've put it on the radar of Immigration Services, DHS. And so this is something that's going to, they're going to have to pay attention to. So that's right. Like the good part in all of this. But, you know, Sarah, if I had to put on your conspiratorial hat here, why do you think they're using these visas for fraud purposes? Is there like a personal dollar amount that they're just like kind of just shifting these over and saying, hey, listen, if you pay me a certain amount of money, I'll get you into the United States and you can use my LLC as coverage for you? Or are they using these as kind of like slave labor, just cheap labor and, you know, grabbing outside sources and bringing them in for that purpose alone?
You know, it's interesting that you asked such a great question, because the answer that I can tell you is both. It's both. Both things are happening. These consultancy firms, I know there's all these, you know, Indian nationals who are very upset whenever I mention the consultancy firms, and they say, oh no, actually you don't know how consultancy firms work. No, I do. And the problem is that federal law dictates that these consultancy firms cannot bring in these H-1Bs under a certain wage and then skim off the top. But what they're doing is they are bringing in these H-1Bs. We went undercover. We posed as an Indian national, and we were texting with some of these consultancy firms, and they said, yep, if you pay us $1,000, we will create a job offer for you. We will do all the filings for you. We'll do all the paperwork, but you're going to pay us 30% of your salary until the first year is done, and then it will drop to 25%. We've got it all in writing that these people are doing that. That is actually illegal. And so what they're doing is they are getting rich. These people who are already here, they establish these, you know, shell companies, consultancy firms, and they get rich. And then what they're essentially doing is they're importing all of these. I mean, I call it akin to human trafficking. They're importing all of these people who do not have these marketable skills. And these people are beholden to these consultancy firms because these are the people that they rely on in order to stay here. So it's just a nasty, vicious cycle, Brianna. And I mean, honestly, the worst part about it and the reason I'm fighting so hard is because I know you're disgusted with the DFW area, and I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to leave. I'm worried that you're going to leave. So I'm like, we gotta catch all these people. We gotta get the scammers back to India so my friend Brianna can stay.
Well, you know, that was my big issue. I was like, Sarah, I don't know if I could do this anymore. There's only so many times I could walk down the streets. And this is the worst part about it, because they're not from this country, so they don't understand like how we are courteous to one another. They take up the sidewalks and they won't let you walk. And they just expand. And when you like kind of like, excuse me, they don't get it and they don't move to the side. There's no care in the world for others. Also, the driving is horrendous. It's one of my many motives to calling the federal government and trying to see if they're going to activate any of their federal agents to go out there and investigate this stuff. But Sarah, you know, I joke lightly, but this kind of leads to my next question in regards to all of this. You know, you've gone online, you've posted all of this between your YouTube page and your Twitter page. I mean, you're gathering about a couple of million viewers on all of this, and it's getting a lot of people's attention. Have you heard from the federal government on whether they're investigating all of this that you're finding?
Yeah, I will tell you this. We have sources over at USCIS. We are speaking to those sources at USCIS. We have yet to determine whether or not they will be actually helpful. But what we do know is that they have received our tips directly. And these are tips that we haven't even been able to show on video yet. These are tips that are still on the cutting room floor that we haven't been able to finish editing properly so that we can get it out to the American people in a way that makes sense, because we're talking about, you know, 40-minute conversations with attorneys and things of that nature. So we have sent all of that over to USCIS. They have acknowledged that it was received, and now we wait. But I got to tell you, I'm not willing to wait very long before I start blasting them as well, because it is a real problem. We're handing them slam dunks. We're doing all the research for them. I realize that there are legal paths that they need to go through to formalize the investigation, but it should not be taking too long to, you know, for as many taxes as we pay, it should not be taking too long to bring these federal agents, bring these USCIS agents down to the DFW area to come check it out for themselves and then make a determination. I mean, we're handing them slam dunks. So I'm not going to be as patient as they probably like me to be, but I will give them maybe, call it a few more days to sort this out.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to keep our eye on this, because, again, you've gotten a bunch of tips. I know you're going through all of this. You're sifting through it. You're investigating all of this, and you're going to be knocking on doors. So we look forward to following you. Again, to our audience, YouTube, X, you got to give her a follow, Sarah Gonzalez, TX, where you could find her on that front. That is where all of her reports are being released. I highly recommend you do. You also give me great laughs, too. You always post your troll messages that you receive, and it's always a good chuckle these days. But, Sarah, I want to pivot a little bit, because this is actually really concerning. Politico says that they just sat down with President Trump, did an interview with him, it looks like. And during the interview, he issued a warning to Attorney General Ken Paxton, it looks like. They're claiming that he's leaning towards endorsing John Cornyn. The president, in a brief phone conversation Thursday morning, said an endorsement will be pretty soon before addressing Paxton, who recently said he would not drop out of the race if Trump endorses Cornyn. Now, we also had a Truth Social post that I put on blast earlier this morning. I want to play Paxton's response yesterday to claims that if John Cornyn is endorsed by the president, that he doesn't plan on dropping out. Take a listen to clip three.
60% of the people who voted last night voted against Cornyn, though he's been in office for a long, long time, four decades. What do you make of that? What message does that send? And what message do you want to send to the Republican base? President Trump said he's going to make an endorsement. Whoever he does endorse should drop out. I have a funny feeling you don't drop out under any circumstance.
No, I'm staying in this race. I owe it to the people of Texas. I've spent a year of my life campaigning against John Cornyn because John has not represented the people of Texas well. He sided with Joe Biden on Second Amendment restrictions. He sided with Joe Biden on bringing Afghan refugees to settle here without vetting them. But he's been against Trump in both of his elections, said he shouldn't run last time, that his day had passed. And, of course, he fought him on the border wall. He's been an amnesty guy. Everything that Trump stood for, John Cornyn's fought. But he wasn't being helped to Joe Biden. The people of Texas, at least the Republicans, would like something different.
All right. So, like, it's roughly like 60% of Texans voted in opposition to John Cornyn, but he is in a runoff race now with Ken Paxton. I was very upset about this, Sarah. Yesterday was very upset about this. Today when we opened the show, I was very fired up on the issue. I don't want the president weighing in on the primary. I actually don't think that's appropriate. It's quite clear that Texans know what their best interest is, and it's not John Cornyn, and he will lose. But there's a reason why those rhinos, who, by the way, are the ones who held up President Trump's confirmation picks and refused to confirm key players, you know, like Ed Martin and Matt Gaetz, those same players are now trying to leverage this, I think, in my opinion, against the president to push forward. You know, he wants the Save America Act push forward. It sounds like to me they're trying to leverage this. We play the clip with John Thun, the leader in the Senate, also saying that he's backing him. They poured $70 million plus dollars into Cornyn's pushback on Paxton. I mean, this is well orchestrated right now. They're trying to bully Paxton out of this race. Your reaction to the political report claiming that they just interviewed President Trump and he's all, appears to be all in for John Cornyn, but hasn't officially endorsed.
Yeah, I have a message for President Trump, and this is coming from someone who has been a staunch supporter of his. I mean, I have taken daggers for him left and right. Do not insult Texans in this manner, President Trump. Do not insult us. We will not be deterred from voting against John Cornyn. We need an actual conservative fighter to represent us in the Senate, and it has not been John Cornyn. We are not happy with John Cornyn, which you can see in the results of the election in which, Brianna, you correctly cited, nearly 60% of Texans who voted in the Republican primary said, we do not want John Cornyn. I would also argue to the president that if John Thune is actually using this as a bargaining chip to put the Save America Act on the floor, where is our warrior? Where is our fighter who says, you know what, I'm going to stick it to you and I'm just going to blast you? Because you don't get to, as the Republican Senate Majority Leader, you don't get to negotiate with me, the President of the United States. I am the President of the effing United States, and you will do what I say, and you will put this Republican legislation on the floor to be heard. That is the warrior spirit that we need from President Trump right now. Not this negotiating, pandering, maybe I'll tell everyone to back Rhino John Cornyn, even though he gets an F in his liberty score, even though he has been constantly anti-Trump, even though he is America last. That is a slap in the face. This man has a 54% liberty score. He has spent all of our money in Ukraine. He wants forever war. I mean, I could go on. He doesn't appreciate President Trump's border wall. The amount of anti-Trump and anti-conservative rhetoric this man has spewed. It is insulting to think that President Trump would actually slap the face of nearly 60% of Texas voters and say, your race can be bought. Your Republican runoff can be bought. Because that's essentially, Brianna, what this is. This is John Cornyn and his allies spending nearly $100 million. And I saw the math on this. John Cornyn, for each vote that he received, had to spend over $100 per vote compared to Ken Paxton's $3.79. That tells you the enthusiasm in Texas, the passion in Texas is with Ken Paxton. And if President Trump thinks that he can just say it and it will magically likely happen, he is sorely mistaken. I would argue to him, I would plead with him, do not tarnish your legacy, President Trump, because we are not going to go along to get along here. We want Ken Paxton, we want the seat back, and we will do what it takes to ensure that John Cornyn is not our senator next go around.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand why this would even be a thing right now with the president. It doesn't make any sense. When we go through what John Cornyn has done, what he said about President Trump, it's quite clear that he's intentionally disrespectful to the president. And now all of a sudden there's this potential that he might actually endorse John Cornyn. And that's the part that's got us all fired up. And I didn't like the fact that he said, whoever I don't endorse needs to drop out. That's not for you to decide, Mr. President. That's for Texans to decide. And so this all has me, I mean, this will be the roughest black pill to swallow when it comes to this administration. You know, we're very critical on a lot of things. We're very excited about other things. But this one tells me that there's an issue right now and that they're holding this over his head. I mean, I'm trying to see what the rationale behind all of this is. Because when you look at the resume, and, you know, National Pulse put out a great story. Raheem did a great job at outlining this up on the National Pulse's website today. He outlines six key points, and I even added a seventh for him in this one, as to why John Cornyn has been such a horrible pick when it comes to the Senate and how he's been against President Trump from the beginning. I mean, we played the clip before in our show. John Cornyn specifically said, during the confirmation hearing for Pam Bondi, said that FISA has never been used against an American citizen and that, in fact, is misinformation, which is laughable, Sarah, given the fact that the President of the United States was the victim of FISA when Crossfire Hurricane was being investigated. That whole fraudulent investigation was taking place. I mean, they used it against members on his team. And so to sit there and say that with a straight face is absolute garbage. I mean, he wanted it on the record. Why? Because I think, in my opinion, he is a deep state operative. And that's why they're fighting so hard to protect him, because he is on those very critical committees, the intelligence committees. And so he's an advocate for things like that. Then also, you know, he validated Jack Smith by calling him a credible prosecutor when he was going after President Trump. He went after President Trump for J6 as well. The details go on. He was very pro DACA when President Trump was trying to strike DACA. This guy has worked.
He wants amnesty.
And what the heck are we? I mean, happy Ramadan, Sarah. I mean, that's the same guy who's like praising the Islamists taking over Texas. And now he's like, oh, I'm against Islamists taking over Texas. I mean, he has shifted drastically because he has an election to win. Does the president have, like, is he forgetful? Maybe it's contagious. Whatever Joe Biden had, he's somehow forgetful in all of this. He's trying to be as respectful as possible. But I'm looking at all this and saying there's not a single win for the president when it comes to endorsing John Cornyn.
No, not a one, Brianna. And that's why my message to the president is very clear. Yeah. I am pleading with you. This is not a win for, this is a win for nobody. Because if you think for one second that John Cornyn is going to somehow, once you get him through this, if you even do, which I would argue you won't, if you think for one second John Cornyn is going to be like your guy, you're absolutely wrong. This is a man who is only doing what is politically advantageous in order to advance his own personal agenda. And think to yourself, Brianna, think to yourself for just a second how far President Trump has gone associating, cozying up to these rhinos rather than true conservatives. You have potentially Senator John Thune. You have him potentially, if the rumors are true, holding up, as I said before, holding up Republican legislation that simply says we should have secure elections. People should have to prove who they are before they vote in our elections. If this is the bargaining chip, if you don't have an actual Senate majority leader who just says we need this legislation because 80% of Americans, both Republican and Democrat, 80% of Americans agree on this. We need this legislation to advance to the floor. If you can't even do that, if this is somehow a bargaining chip for a Republican majority to advance Republican legislation, that in and of itself is proof to President Trump you've been cozying up with the wrong people. These are not your friends. These are not your allies. They certainly not America. They are not America first. And all you're going to do is alienate your true supporters and your true base. Of course, by doing this, there is no win in my eyes. There is absolutely no win for President Trump on this. If he looks at it critically, it does not make any sense, except when you consider he has the wrong people surrounding him. He has the wrong people advising him, and he needs to determine whether or not he wants to take the political consequences that come if he follows these rhinos' advice.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm told by those in the Paxton camp that he's not backing down, even if the president does endorse John Cornyn, and he shouldn't. Sarah, I will make this my full-time job if I have to help defend Ken Paxton.
Me too.
He's been a fighter from day one. He is someone who has proven his worth. You know, when everyone was a coward and afraid to talk about the 2020 election fraud, Ken Paxton sued those states who decided to open up their mail-in ballots to commit fraud. He's also somebody who was very aggressive on the front of going after the Biden regime with over 100 lawsuits filed. There's not a single AG who did just that. So there is no excuse here, and it's got me fired up. But Sarah, I want to pivot a little bit to another topic that's got us fired up. You were in D.C. just a couple of days ago, and you tried to confront Tony Gonzalez, who's obviously a congressman in the state of Texas. There's been a lot of reports. The Daily Mail's actually done a great job at going through this, that he was having an affair with a staffer. We were told initially it didn't happen. Then we were told initially by Gonzalez that, all right, like, this is political. This is political. And then he went and validated text messages. Well, he actually sat down with my good friend, Mr. Joe Pags, and Joe Pags actually did a lot to dig into this with Gonzalez, and it actually got a confession. Take a listen to clip 18.
I made a mistake, and I had a lapse in judgment, and there was a lack of faith, and I take full responsibility for those actions. Since then, I've reconciled with my wife, Angel. I've asked God to forgive me, which he has, and my faith is as strong as ever. When you make mistakes like this, you know, it's never easy. It humbles you, but it's important to kind of work through it all. You know, I look forward to the ethics committee starting an investigation. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to provide all the facts and all the details that lead to exactly what occurred in the entire situation.
All right, Sarah, we got about 2 minutes left. Your reaction, Gonzalez coming clean all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, of course there's more to the story. You know, he fails to mention that this wasn't just a simple affair. This wasn't just, you know, they got swept up in this whirlwind romance. This was a boss. This was a public official, a boss who was harassing and pressuring a young staffer to send him dirty pictures. This was a boss who was entirely inappropriate. Multiple times she said, boss, this is too far. Boss, please stop. And you and I both know, Brianna, that as a female, we try to use certain keywords if we are feeling uncomfortable and we want to try to steer the conversation differently. She's using the term boss very intentionally in order to remind him of the inappropriateness of this request. And he still pushes on. He still continues on. This is a bad guy. This is a bad person. This is a bad Republican. This is just a bad guy all around. What shocked me on primary night was how close he came to Brandon Herrera's vote count. I look forward to Brandon Herrera defeating him in the runoff. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that we have multiple bad people in Congress. They've gone too far. They've been there too long. The power goes to their heads and they think that they can just get away with all of this. And by the way, Brianna, I think it's laughable. He says, I look forward to the ethics committee investigating. Like nobody in there ever in their whole lives is like, I love a good investigation into me. Of course, you don't look forward to the ethics investigation into you, Tony, but it can't come soon enough. And by the way, Brianna, word on the street is that there's much more to come on Tony Gonzalez's illicit affairs.
Well, that makes sense because there he is, like, coming clean now. And, you know, we had the text messages and he wouldn't even acknowledge those being authentic. I don't care what people do in their personal lives, but the reality of it is he brought this into his professional life. He did that himself. That's his own decision. The text messages are clear. I don't care to hear the back and forth. This woman committed suicide. This might have been a pivotal point to all of that. You know, there's allegations that before she passed away that she was expressing her feelings about finding her husband in an affair with a best friend, was kind of what the reports were suggesting. Doesn't matter to me. What I want to focus on, the fact that he's a liar and he should be tossed from his seat. Yeah. For abusing his power as a member of Congress. Sarah, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate your time as always. And she does a great job all the time. Make sure you ever follow Sarah Gonzalez, TX, where you do that ad. Also, reminder, Sarah, you and I were just at the Paxton party too the other day, and you did an incredible job at being Paxton's hype man. You gave a great speech before he came out, and you also were behind him cheering on our guy. So it's great to see you in the fight. I look forward to joining forces with you in this runoff race. We're not getting up anytime soon, so thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that's it for me. The Alex Jones Show is next. Don't go anywhere.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the Globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.